Your Highness, what are we gonna do if those little Italian men keep destroying your kingdom? You aren't gonna have anywhere to bring the princess back to.
I know.
Yeah.
I need someone to rebuild my kingdom. But who?
King Koopa, may I suggest someone?
Go ahead.
How about Patriot Paint and Construction?
What?
Yes, they actually rebuild the Mushroom Kingdom every time you destroy it.
How can I reach them?
Simply call 806-544-7199. They are insured and bonded and have been in business for more than 14 years.
Now there is no stopping me.
And on that note, we'll start the show.
Media.
Okay. Here we go.
All you ladies, pull your chi-chis out. This is the JP Lopez Show. Also, if you're a transgender, pull your pecker out. This is the JP Lopez Show.
What is up? Thank you for tuning back into the JP Lopez Show. And once again, I advise you to go listen to the YouTube. Today's story is fucking wild. What's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
I got San Juan and Thomas back on.
Another day in paradise.
Oh, shit. They're running it back.
Reverend. This is episode part four.
So in all your days of partying, because, I mean, I know you still partied, you just didn't drink?
Yeah, just stopped.
You didn't care to want to get fucked up?
I mean, just got to a point where I just, and nothing, like I said, I'm not against it at all.
No, I know.
Doesn't bother me, man. I've even thrown parties at my house before where I supply all the alcohol, everything, and just don't drink it myself.
Yeah. Well, because you said Angel's party was open bar, mm-hmm. right?
Open bar. Remember, I was taking.
And you told me you got those people all fucked up.
Was it Vince from the radio station?
Yeah.
Him, his wife, a couple other just bringing them shots because they were open and everybody was trying to drink slow. And I was like, shit, we about to fuck this bar up.
Yeah.
I'm taking everybody drinks.
Yeah.
To myself, not drinking myself, but I want to see everybody have a good time. You know, it's just, I know me and like I got a real bad. So if I just stay cool, man,
you know, have a good
time. Yeah, I like to have a good time. But I like everybody else to have a good time. Yeah. So
my dad was like that. I mean, because from what I hear, he was a party animal. But I didn't.
That's crazy.
Him being my dad, I never saw that. Yeah. I seen him get fucked up a handful of times. But every time, barbecue or birthday or whatever, for whatever, he would buy a bunch of alcohol and he wouldn't drink.
Yeah.
But he never would drink. But I heard stories about, your dad used to get fucked up. And me, like, there are times where I don't want to drink. But there are times where it's like a Monday and I'm like, already, I'm going to fucking get fucked up on Saturday. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, I know I just don't. It's not in my head.
I don't know. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop. It just gradually just stop doing it.
I got burnt out.
I think that was the best thing.
I got burnt out at an early age. Of course, then I think.
Well, shit. We had a lot of practice at our age.
Dude, from like 15 to 21. I said, but then I kind of got into smoking bud. So kind of one addiction went to the next. But, you know, I can drink a few beers here and there now. You know, I'm good. And every now and then I'll come on the show, especially at first, I'd leave tipsy than a son bitch, bro. Go home telling my kids how much I love. Do you want a pizza?
when are you doing the podcast again, Dad?
Hell yeah. We like the JP show.
We always get pizza.
We always get food and money.
But you know, like, I've drank some wine with y'all, like out to dinner and stuff like that. I'll drink a glass or two of wine and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just not, I just don't get.
If you have a nice steak, you almost have to have wine with it.
Definitely, sounds good, man.
I get it because my wife does that and she gets so pissed, but I can't drink and eat.
Really?
I can't.
No.
And she's like, you never drink when I go out to eat. Well, fuck, I can't drink and eat. I just can't. And then if I eat, then I'm done. Like, I'm not drinking tonight. And especially if I get full, I'm done. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but once I have that full feeling, I can't drink alcohol.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's why people are like, you haven't ate all day. Well, fucking eat. The party's over for me.
Girl, mind your business and give me another shot.
Stay out the fucking business.
I'm going to drink my calories.
And then... And then it's a feast, especially when this motherfucker will invite you. It's a feast. And then we're going home, and I'm like, fuck, I'm hungry. And she's like, well, you should have fucking ate. I was like, shut up.
Sometimes I don't even eat my own stuff.
Yeah, just Eric always has a fucking feast every time he invites you, man.
Yeah. Like, I tell my kids to make me a plate. Let me get fucked up. Y'all make dad a plate for later. Buddy. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of want to get into hosting dinner night.
Yeah, that's
cool. For all of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and have it at the house or something, but, like, dress up and...
Yeah, yeah. Fellowship.
Just have a fucking reason to dress up.
Well, that was cool. I think that last time we got together with Paul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I made macaroni. I made it.
I was thinking about having maybe a couple of theme parties. Havana Nights, dressed up like we're fucking Cuba.
That's cool, man.
And shit like that, right? So
the fat fucks in the flowered shirt.
And we'll have a fucking old Cuban music on, and maybe he'll do some fucking Cuban food or
some
whatever.
Celia Cruz.
That's badass.
See, and that's cool. You have to have friends that would actually dress up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that'd be cool, man.
Dude, that's our whole circle. That's all our wives. That's you cool just shit. Give them a reason and they'll fucking your 40th, right? It was a 90s?
Yeah, 90s theme.
All the girls were TLC and
that was badass.
Yeah.
That was Biggie Smalls.
Isaiah and Logan were crisscross.
Oh shit.
That's cool.
So,
that's
real cool. Yeah. So yeah, we come up with a theme. Maybe it would just be two times or whatever. But I like the Havana Nights idea. There could be other ideas.
Yeah,
that's... And then she, we were talking about it today. She wants to start doing a brunch with the girls. Whoever wants to come over to the house and do a brunch like on Sunday or something.
Bro, if you think about shit like that, how much money all of us would save if it was just like that?
Yeah.
Because you're spending brunch for what? Let's be honest, minimal food. Because all the girls are just going to get faded.
Yeah.
So you're spending like $30 a person.
Uh-huh.
Which you can just buy a fucking cheap-ass $7 bottles of champagne or whatever for mimosas. Mm-hmm. And it would save a fuck ton of money if y'all did shit like that.
Yep.
Especially you, because your wife loves brunch.
Oh, I know. That tab is going to...
She brunches so hard.
she's going to have her mimosa, and not just regular ones. She's going to order some whatever... And then she's going to also order drinks because then the mimosa is just to cleanse her palate.
Yes, started.
And then my wife is a Sunday Funday whore. God dang, man. Especially when I'm at work. Oh, dude.
Poodle party.
I just play it back in my head like the previous times of coming home, and it's great times or horrible times, depending on how hard she went on Sunday Funday. Fuck. And a lot of the time, it's with your wife.
I just send mine to bed.
Go sleep it off.
Yeah.
Anyways, man, so we're a few days late. Sorry, guys, but I want to ask all of y'all. I'll start with you, Thomas. What does your mom mean to you, bro?
Oh, man, my mom, and I I get it. We all love our mothers, and she's my everything.
Yeah, no one's better than your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
Yeah, I get that. But, yeah, she, man, for everything that I've seen her go through, you know, I'm a mama's boy, was raised by her, you know, my dad, and her got a divorce. She kind of stepped up for me and my brothers. I'll always respect her because she was just a country white girl who can't hear, legally deaf, can't smell, you know. And she put herself through college, nursing school for me and my brothers, and... Man, just kind of every door's kind of every obstacle she just kind of faced it and didn't complain about it. And me, man, nothing came easy to her, man. Like literally, and still doesn't to this day. But she's my everything, man. So I just seen her battle through so much and never look down on nobody. Never really talk shit about my dad, even though my dad wasn't, you know, the best of a husband and a father. Always taught me and my brothers to love our dad no matter what, just to learn from him and be better. So. It's hard to describe her other than, man, that's my lady, man. Pain in my ass, but that's she's That's my lady, man. That's my queen.
That's badass, bro. Yeah, that's and your mom honestly fucking hit a grand slam. Because I have two friends that had like four or five children trying for that boy. And they never got one. Yeah. They're like, you know, like three, four girls deep.
For real, yeah.
And your mom had all three boys. For real,
bro. Yeah. It's, and how she, man, and all three of us, you know. Man, she's, yeah, to put up with my brother, Mike, Steve, and me, you know, she deserves the world, man. There's, you know, to this day, sometimes I ask God, like, man, I wish I could not give her more because she don't want more. She's content with what she has. But, yeah, she had us boys, and now she has but nine granddaughters and a couple grandsons. And, yeah, man, that lady's been through hell and back, but never complained, bro. She will not talk shit about people. You know, there's times I'll be like, well, this motherfucker's talked this, blah, blah. And she's like, well, love them. You know, that's your family. Or, you know, if they talk crap about me, she's like, eh. You know,
we acted a fool.
Oh, yeah.
A fool at your house.
Oh, yeah. She couldn't hear us for shit because she's deaf. She
but not only that, like, she never was like, what the fuck you doing here? Yeah, or, like, called you inside and, like, bitched you out.
I've seen
I mean, I say we acted a fool. Of course, we respected her house.
Yeah, yeah,
we
were good.
But we were loud as fuck. Oh, yeah, we'd be out there till like
3 o'clock in the morning, and she had to be at work at 5.
And we were like 17. Yeah. And she never bitched us out and said, hey, get the fuck out of my house.
Man, she's loyal, man, to the T. She's been the, like, especially when I went through my divorce, man, it was her that made me grow up. You know, seeing her go through some health issues, that's when I had to man up because my mom. But yeah, never turned her back on nobody, man. She's loved me and my brothers. And, you know, seeing, you know, she don't get enough credit. Like I said, she's first generation going to college. She graduated, became an LVN. My two brothers wound up going to school. So she, the foundation that my mom, you know, I'm a Rios through and through. And she's never changed her last name. She's a Rios to this day. But she laid a foundation for me that, you know, I can only hope to measure up to. But, yeah, that's my queen, man.
You know, that's awesome because I never thought to ask you, for real. And it sucks, and I'm kind of beating myself up now.
No.
I never thought to ask you how you felt after that divorce. Yeah, I know you speak about it, but I've never asked you
It opened up doors that I finally had to deal with in my parents' divorce. Because I was 2-3 years old when they divorced, and I was blessed to have both sides of the family love me. I was a spoiled kid, but I never realized, you know, I don't want to say childhood trauma too much, but me going through my divorce made me realize what my mom went through. You know, it's kind of different circumstances, but my mom used to always tell me, if I could get through it, you're going to get through it. And so even to this day, man, like, she tells me how proud she is, how, you know, I work and got my little side business and take care of my girls, raised them the last, what, 8 years, 9 years?
Your mom
years.
Should be proud, bro.
I think she is.
All three of you are fucking pretty damn good.
I appreciate it. I think she is, man. She's a humbled person, but, yeah, that's my crazy white girl, man. And just, you know, shout out to her. I try to shout out to her all the time. She probably doesn't listen to the show, but
Tommy.
My son, man,
I think he's at work at the Wiener Schnitzel.
And the people that know my mom, bro, the way y'all drink, my mom would, back in the day, she'd drink with y'all. She would get fucked up, man. And she'd when I'd get twisted with my cousins, they laugh because she would be dancing. That white girl come out here and she'd be like, my son, Tommy. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the mother of three boys and loving to get fucked up, turn my attention to this show, Eric Villarreal. Mm-hmm. What does your mother mean to you, brother?
Hey, man, she's the whole center of everything. So she's in charge still to this day, right? We don't make any decisions without at least telling her what we're going to do, or like, hey, we're going to do this. Okay, what do I need to bring?
That's cool.
I try not to make her bring anything.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want her to. Like, you always do way more than you need to be doing. If I invite you, you don't need to bring anything.
Yeah.
Now, if you brought something, okay, cool. But I'm not asking you to bring something. So I think my mom is enjoying life. I think this is the way that life has evolved. I think she was wanting to do that this entire time. So I think the only regret I guess she could have is that she wish she could have done it 30 years ago.
Yeah.
30, 40 years ago, where everything is real calm. Yeah. It's relaxing when everybody gets together. It's relaxing. There's no arguing. There's no hostilities. Yeah. There's good food. Everybody just listening to music, laughing, telling jokes, telling the future that's coming. Oh, you're about to graduate. Yeah. You're about to go to college. You're about to got a new job, whatever. Everything is in place now. And I think it's made her finally, like, be able to sit down and breathe. And like, okay, I don't have to micromanage every single little thing. It's working
already. That's rewarding for her, yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
So you think that, like, because all of y'all, all three of y'all, I know personally, I've known for a very long time, most of my life, you all three of y'all are independent thinkers. You think she instilled that into all three of y'all?
Yeah, she thinks against the grain, and every little decision that she's made had a reason. It was never, I don't feel like doing that. It's no, it's this. That's why I don't do that. Or that, I don't do that. Blah, 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 whatever. There's always a decision. And I think a lot of the stuff, you know, we grew up freaking in the Arnett Benson, right? Crazy. We could tell stories for fucking days. This woman came to the United States because her dad died, and they were about to become an orphan in Mexico. And my uncle was found a job here and got all their paperwork and brought them to the United States, and they became American citizens by 1969. Still not knowing how to speak English, not graduating high school. I think my aunt was the only one that graduated high school because my mom made her go to school.
At was least her younger sister?
Younger sister. So then my mom raised her, because then their mom died shortly after they came to the United States. Yeah. So first off, you're from another country. Both of your parents are dead. And now you got to raise your siblings. Like, nothing has been easy. And then, okay, the siblings are gone. Maybe I should get married. I've been concentrating on everybody else except for myself.
Yeah.
Well, then being married wasn't that easy either. Everything is hard. Yeah. Everything's difficult. Everybody has their own traumas coming in. And then, not that she took it out on us, she just didn't know. We always say, "Wow, mom's so old school. Like, you're raising us like it's 1950 and stuff." Well, she did raise us like it's 1950, but we actually needed to be raised like it was 1950. It was we get to become men, and also at the same time, like, we're going to be tough. We're going to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
If you have a problem, fix it.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to fix your problems.
And the shit she had to go through instilled that, obviously, in y'all, because there's no way she's going to let you bitch and complain about it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Did I see you just? Okay. I was like, did I see that?
Let's take this.
We'll take a little sidebar here, but Mr. San Juan's asked for a shot, so we're going to give him a shot. he just smelt it and grew two hairs on his head.
One and a half.
Oh, there it goes. It's so delicious, isn't it?
I don't know why I stopped.
but also, too, and not to, this isn't throwing shade. It's a happy memory. What I want to say this, because it might come off as disrespectful. But you always, for all of our friendship, have always been, y'all come to my house. And even when you lived in the casita, y'all come to my house. And, you know, it's always been a feast. It's always been, but your mom has loved to party like a motherfucker.
Oh, heck yeah.
And so you would, and like I said, we weren't even 21, so you'd have to go, you know, get 30s or somewhere. And then it would be like half gone. You'd be like, God damn.
Yeah, well, her and my dad would get into the stash, right? I would have to imagine. If it was visible, they were going to drink it.
It's my house.
Oh, yep. Open game.
And they're like, oh, you brought Budweiser? I like Budweiser. I remember one time, because I always had whiskey, right? Usually Jack Daniels. And one time my dad went to the casita, right? And he was looking for some whiskey, right? And I didn't have any. But my brother's friend had a bottle, and it was can't say that it was super duper fancy, but it wasn't Jack Daniels. It was something else. So it was something nicer or whatever. And it was hidden. And so my dad found it, right? So, man, he just starts drinking it, man. He drinks about half of this thing, right? And so now he's telling my brother and his friend that I thought I was sneaky, but that I found the stash. And he goes, that motherfucker tried to hide it from me. He goes, but I found the stash, man. He goes, I got a real fucked up. And then they're like, what bottle? He goes, it was in that drawer. He tried to hide it. And then his friend was like, well, it was my bottle. I goes, what? Oh, shit. Oh, it was good anyway.
He's like, thank you, Migo.
That was a good bottle. Man.
Well, that's why I liked it, because it was free. It was one of my favorites.
Oh, shit.
Samron, what does your mom mean to you, brother?
Man, my mom, you know, my dad's, that's my right hand, man.
Yeah.
My mom, man, it's like, I don't know if it's like but like I'm high functioning depressed. You know what I mean? Like I'm always sad, and I always sometimes, you ever think like just want to run away?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I take care of business. I work all the fucking time because I got a family. No matter if I'm fucking sad or whatever, but I have that in me, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of, and until I had Malachi, the only reason I stayed around was because of my mom.
Come on.
You know what I mean? The only reason I'm alive is because of her until I got Malachi. Oh, and, you know, and my life has been decent. You know what I mean? Not too many things. I just have overness, sadness a lot of times. You know what I mean? And my thing was I just didn't want to see her cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I said, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
And did something, I always thought, like, man, my mom's going to cry, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because we're not, like, super close. We're not.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, I love her, and she'll do anything for me. Yeah, you know what I mean? And anybody says anything to my mom.
Yeah.
Well, you see how she defended me on the T-ball stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's always been there for me. It's not like she's been a bad mom. It's just never had that closeness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's always like, oh, you're a man, you do man shit. You know what I mean? You don't cry, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No matter how you feel, it doesn't fucking matter. You gotta get up, you gotta go provide for your family.
Yeah.
You want a girlfriend, you want a wife, that's what it takes. Yeah, you know, you got kids, that's what it takes. So she's never babied me as in like, it's not babying, but you know what I mean? It's just never been like, I could never say, mom, I'm sad. Mm-hmm. Or like when me and Amanda went through a rough patch, it was no like, well, it's okay, you can be sad, or I understand. I had nobody to, not so much cry to, but like to complain to or be sad to.
To vent to.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was just, I've had that, but the only reason I stayed around before I had Malachi was because I didn't want to see her cry.
Wow.
I didn't want her sad. You know what I mean? It was just like, man, I love her so much. I love her to death. She, you know what I mean? She's my mom, but I don't, it's just a weird thing. Like, I don't have to call her every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or see her every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, that's kind of sad because one day she won't be here.
Yeah.
But like I said, I've stuck around so long before I had Malachi, because now I stick for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, Angel will be okay. You know, she got her mom. Amanda will be okay. She'll find somebody. My dad, give a shit. You know, my dad's a man. He'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just always worried about my mom crying, which is like weird, huh? Like wow, she.
But, well, I mean, deep down, whether you want to admit it or not, you're a mama's boy.
Yeah, probably, man. Yeah. And that's why I've stuck around. Like I said, I always self-diagnose whatever. Mm-hmm. So like high functioning depression. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, you know, I'd be sad, but like, fucking, I'm sad painting or fucking sad work, you know.
I'm going to get through it. Yeah.
That's just your emotions. You're not thinking about happiness. You're thinking about, you know, you're somber, melancholy whatever
you know
it is.
I mean, just I know shit has to be done and everything's on me.
Yeah.
You know, there's no time for me to fucking be sad, and there's no time to woe me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when me and Amanda went through the rough patch, I mean, we've been together fucking 20 years. So, you know, you got that ups and downs.
Yeah, nothing's perfect for 20 years.
For sure, man.
Oh, definitely.
And so when we go through rough patches and stuff like that, I don't have. That's why I said, like, this, like, talking to y'all and listening to the podcast and shit like that is very therapeutic for me, because I can't go talk to somebody I don't fucking know that doesn't know me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
And there's nothing against that kind of profession or anything like that. But it's easier to me to tell somebody here, this is the issue. Mm-hmm. And then y'all don't understand, but like, well, you know, but y'all could tell me something, but I'd be like, hey, I still got to go fucking.
Yeah.
I still got to get shit fucking done. There's no time for me to be sad alone in the room. I could be sad working.
Yeah.
Still going to be fucking sad.
But you know, you're too busy to be sad.
Yeah, you know what
I'm saying? That's the thing. Like, you catch people like, oh, poor me. Oh, it's like, are you not doing anything all fucking day? Yeah. Like, do you not have, like, something to wake up and go do?
Yeah.
Because then you wouldn't be sitting down on the couch or in your bed like, poor me, because you got to go do something. Go to work. Go build something.
For real. My dad would be like, when we had that rough patch, my dad would be like, hey, we got. I was like, yeah, I know. He was like, well, fuck, I know you got that shit, but you're going to be sad and shit. Probably just going to get fucking worse, son. Mm-hmm. You know, the bill's going to come in. You can't pay these motherfuckers. Then you're going to be super sad out in the street because now you're fucking cold and homeless and still fucking sad. It's not going to change your situation.
And that's probably what helped you get through that.
And a lot of, man, I tell you, man, especially after the service and when I came back and had a lot of issues before I started talking to, like, groups and stuff over there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get tired, man.
I know. Okay.
I feel like we all get to a point like you're like, I'm tired or I just want to run away. You know what I mean?
You're burnt out, too.
You're burnt out. You know
what I mean? And that's really why I want to start that men's group, bro.
Yeah.
You know.
But, man, dude.
And so, you're not alone in that, bro. Yeah. Like,
and so that's what I'm going to say is, like, I just want to suck your dick for a little bit. It's because of you, bro.
I was
going to
say, can I watch it?
Like, this, you know, my circle has always been really tight and, like, you know, getting back in connection with you. It's because of you that I want to start the men's group. It's because of you that I think of all of us guys as on this at this table and all the people that I text all the time as kings, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I see all y'all as kings, man.
You've changed my mindset in a whole more positive direction, like... And I'm telling you all this because it fucking, you know, kind of hurts me a little to hear you say
you're a
high-functioning, depressed person because, bro, it's because of you that's driven me more to succeed financially, succeed family-wise, succeed as a friend.
And I get like, that, but, like,
it's
y'all.
It's because of you,
it's
bro.
Y'all. Like, when I hear Eric fucking laugh, bro, on the fucking podcast or tell the story, it fucking makes me happy. Or Thomas you... Where I see your girl's art, you know what I mean? That fucking makes me happy because, you know, it's just like, man, I see all these people that I love doing good, man, and doing well, you know what I mean?
But I get that, but you also paint big fucking ray of sunshine in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's like the old clocks, you know what I mean? The cognitive wheel, forgive me, I don't know what I'm talking about, how to pronounce it, but you know, on a watch, you see the wheels, right? In order for that watch to work,
that wheel's got to turn.
Each wheel has to. Each part has to do their part in that watch. Mm-hmm. So one wheel goes this way and it connects, and this one makes it go. So if one of those parts is missing or not up to its par, the watch isn't going to fully work. My brother used to tell me this, meaning we all have a part in this watch that we're life going. So and you are a big part of it, because I echo what you're saying about someone like these last year and a half, going on 2 years. Yeah, you do motivate.
He's done something for us.
It motivates, like, you know, like, calling me, how we give each other shit, bro. But when you call me that one day, like, hey, bro, you know, you know, you do deserve better. You got to believe it. It's great. Like I said, we self-analyze, but to hear it from a brother who we know that's maybe not always feeling happy-go-lucky, you're helping the next man, right? So, and the next man is helping the next man and helping the next man, and we help each other. And
definitely,
get where you're saying the functioning depressed, because I used to feel like that too. And when you're talking about, you know, not doing nothing, I was there, man. I remember laying down. It was about a week, but I was depressed and I didn't want to do nothing. And I thought about checking out, or maybe I'd run away and be better off and my kids would be better off. And then the people that saw me going through what I went through were there to lift me up. So the people that I always thought I had to be there for, they started lifting me up with the phone calls, the messages, you're doing a damn good job, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, when you send the messages to me in the morning, Jacob signs you. Sometimes, man, I'm in a dark spot again just because it's natural life, right? Yeah. And then I'll get that, hey, brother, you know, I love you, dude, or you'll, you know, tease me about Harding chicks pictures and shit. And then I remember I need that, you know what I mean? Because we're not – every day is not going to be happy sunshine.
Oh yeah, definitely,
know?
Man.
And to know that I'm not alone, and it makes me remember, like, hey, when I'm going through it, I got to remember I have a brother going through it too,
yeah,
and we can't do it alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if I'm grateful that we're here. I'm grateful that y'all reached out to me. You know, it started with you asking me to go do your yard and shit, and I'm humbled by that, bro. Because JP opened that door too, and a lot of good things have happened for me. You know what I mean?
That's since what I'm saying,
so.
Man.
Like, all 4 yards of it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, you know, acres. Like, that's what my mom means to me, man. Like, she's kept me here. Maybe
that's badass,
not just to, because she's always, man, I could fucking fuck up and she's still happy. Well, you didn't fuck up that bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
could have
done this. Worse.
Like, when I opened the restaurant at the very beginning, right? We got on FMX website. They posted about what a success it was. And boy, she called me, was so happy. Mm-hmm. Like, you did it, mijo, da 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 da. And it makes me smile, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, mom, calm down.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's just, you
She's
know what
proud,
I mean?
Though, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's the only person. Because, I know everybody's going to be okay. Life goes on.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
know that. Life
but
goes
she's
on.
The one that.
But she's the only one, until I have Malachi now. That's my baby now. But who's kept me like, man, I don't want to see her sad.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'll be able to see her, and she's going to be sad, and I don't want her sad, or I don't want her crying. You know, I feel like everybody will get along. Everybody will get on, but my mom is going to hurt for me. You know, I come from her.
Yeah.
She gave birth to me. That's,
you're her
that's
baby,
my mom.
Yeah.
And even though we're not everyday call or everyday fucking talk and sit there and stuff like that, she means a lot to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's the only reason I stuck around a lot, man. Because, you know, if something happened to me, man, I'd be well taken care of. You know, I got plenty of insurance, plenty of stuff she could have, stuff like that. But it's just that whole thing of making her sad. You know what I mean? I just couldn't live with myself, her being sad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's what she means to me.
And it's all, hey, she's your one of your reasons. Now you have your mijo too, but to keep going and never allowing yourself to check out. And that's actually a beautiful thing. Because as you're saying that, makes me think of some of the people that had no reason to keep going, you know? And, I love seeing her at the games, bro. Like, I always try and tell her thank you, and she always tells me thank you. But, yeah, I love because she's there for her baby boy. And when you
and
told her she was going to fight the day
and
the coaches.
She's crazy, man. And I get her like, mom, just go. You know what I mean? She's crazy,
she's
man.
Like, you don't
mess with
my baby.
But it's just, you know, it's just that. And like I said, I know we all go through this shit, man. And
yeah.
A lot of times it gets overwhelming that you know,
it
just
want
to run away, man. Like sometimes, you know, I'm working and I got all this fucking shit, bro, and my phone won't stop ringing, man. And you know, I have cousins be like, nah, I wish I had all that. I'm like, bro, it's not.
I always tell people it's a curse.
It's so overwhelming, man, because like I was telling JP, because he came over and brought the photo, him and his wife. And she was like, yeah, he wants to, my man was telling him, like, he wants to move out of the country already and go, because I'm just trying to find peace, man,
bro,
and happiness. You know what I mean?
I would love to move out of the country.
You know, and it's, what did I say? It was Porta Valera.
You told me, man.
Porta.
Because you said
it was in what country?
In Mexico.
Okay.
Vall. Porta Valera.
I thought y'all meant like in the country.
Puerto Vallarta.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right,
it's in Jalisco.
I thought you meant like Hereford country.
So that's it's an amazing place.
That's all me too.
If you go down 30 miles, it's a virgin land. Oh. That's where you want to live.
Right,
you don't want to live in Puerto Vallarta. Well,
oh, there are virgins there? Sign me up.
I just heard me in, coach.
There probably is.
But that's what I was telling.
I wouldn't
I
even
like,
know what to do with a virgin.
He was like, he wants to go for like 3 months.
Don't do it.
Like, I want to go down there for 3 months and see the area I want to live in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My biggest fear, man, is to get there and still not be happy. I love my kids.
I think you will be happy.
I love my wife, but I'm just not happy, man. And I'm afraid that, am I ever gonna find, like I said, I read the Bible and
I
study
it,
man. It's
the trials and the tribulations that a man, if I were to dissect your brain, it would be nothing that I could understand other than you.
Yeah.
Same with all of us. Yeah. Like, it's when am I gonna find peace? You know, like when the fuck will I be peaceful? Because we're all striving for something, and we get it, and we're still not peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're striving for something that we don't even know what it is yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just know We got to keep working. Yeah. And we got to keep going.
Well, now we're just striving for survival.
Yeah.
And I know we're speaking about our mothers right now, but as I'm growing older in my age and doing the providing for my family, I understand my dad's frustrations now. Now, being a kid, not understanding it, like, why the fuck's dad coming home all pissed off? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I get it now. Like, the shit we go through on a day-to-day basis, the shit we put up with, and then come home to that's our place of zen, and still can't leave the day's bullshit behind. Yes, sir. Like, I get it. I get why my dad was so frustrated with us.
And it does suck when you don't have an outlet. You know, so me hearing you, all of y'all being able to open up like that, that's great for someone out there that probably hasn't hit those plateaus yet or even the highs yet. Because sometimes you do have great moments, and then sometimes I know I live it, and there's not, and y'all don't even realize it, but when y'all give me shit or text me in the morning like, you know, quit bullshitting, that's that reminder, like, okay, you ain't got to stay there, you know, because I've been quote unquote what you would call depressed, you know, even before the divorce. I was just, man, put on weight, just mentally. My kids were the only reason, and my mom too, why I didn't check out, you know. And I thought about those things, but I guess I was still thinking of other people, right? I was trying to think of other people's thoughts. So to answer your question, but going back to like, will I ever be happy? I think when you find happiness when you're happy, you'll have days where maybe you're not as happy. Yeah. But when you see your son playing baseball, or maybe it's just one day you get lunch with, you know, your wife and JP and his wife, and you find that happiness for that moment, you remember, like, those little steps, right? Just like in being sober or not drinking as much, little steps are big victories, you know? And so
I think that I have to disagree with Eric. I think that you going to Mexico, let's say you do go that, you do that, I don't think you'll be peaceful there, because you're such a provider in your mentality that you're going to get there and still feel sorry for not being the provider.
Yeah,
back from what you left.
Yeah. And that's what I said. My mom, you know, like your mom always says, it's okay. It's all right. No matter what you do, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could find that. Like, no matter what happens, it's okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I don't open fucking 10 tickets, or if I don't make $2 million fucking dollars, it doesn't fucking matter. Are you happy? Like, all that she ever asked me, man, are you okay, me? Are you happy?
Yeah.
And I always say, yeah, of course, right? When your mom asks you, like, of course, I'm happy, I'm happy. But when I'm alone, or like when I told you, when I'm by myself working, that's my fucking zen.
Yeah.
Because I'm just by myself, and I could think whatever I want to think. All the shit I got to do is going through my head, and I'm by myself, right? So I'm talking
to myself. You're arguing with Donnie.
You're wrong,
Donnie.
I agree on that, though, Donnie. But you know what I mean? You're by yourself. You can fucking do your thing. Then I start thinking, am I fucking happy? I have a wife that loves me.
Yeah.
I have kids. You know, I have Angel that got my back.
Oh, yeah.
I got a dad. You know, he's a pain in my ass, got my back. And I got a mom. I got, you know, there's people that can't call their pop or call their mom and shit like that. I should be grateful for everything I have. But then I think deep down, no matter what, am I happy? You know, I thought money, right?
Right, would be
happy. So happiness. I strive for that, right? I strive for it all the time. And it doesn't make me happy, right?
Okay.
Then I strive for God. Right. So I start reading the Bible. Then it starts fucking me up, because I'm like, God damn, that shit ain't true here, and there. All the shit I've been doing is fucking
come
up.
Come on.
So I was like, God damn, man. So what's going to ever – I just get so thing, like, I wish I could think like my mom, man, and just be happy. She's happy. Mm-hmm. She sees Malachi. She doesn't have a lot of money. She stays with me now, right?
Amen.
She goes, does her little work, comes home, brings a little gift from Malachi, and is fucking super happy, man.
I see that too.
You know what I mean? And then – for her to come to sit by me and ask me, are you okay? You happy, mijo? Is everything all right? And it's just like, yeah, everything's fine, Mom.
That's why it's got to be small victories, bro.
Yeah. And I think that's my problem, man. I try to shoot big and get everything.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to find happiness that way when it's probably something really small, man, that I need.
So you got to see Mika grow up to be a beautiful young lady, awesome kid, right? You were there for those moments, right?
Same thing. I missed those.
Did you? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because at those times, I was trying to
you're right.
Make money. Because, you know, like you're I said, I fucking was stupid as doing dumb things growing up and continued that. So Angel grew up with us.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So Angel didn't do private schools or fucking trips anywhere. We didn't go fucking nowhere. Littlefield was it, 36 miles.
I remember we talked about at dinner sometimes not having no money. Yeah,
Angel didn't get to do none of that. We do the Walmart thing, 2 o'clock in the morning, me and Amanda. Yeah. Go to Walmart, just walk around and just, we had no money. Yeah, mm-hmm. just bullshitting. So Angel grew up different than Malachi gets to grow up, right? Yeah. But still, though, I wasn't happy then. And even though my whole circumstances changes, I'm still...
still not, yeah.
And I look forward, bro. Like, when I listen to The Pocket every fucking Wednesday, JP knows I'll be calling his ass. Wednesday night, now I can get it on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, on the podcast. Yeah, on the app. But before, I was like, say, dog.
Old ass man.
4:10. I said, bro, it's not on here yet. Y'all do one?
At first, he would text me at 4. I was like, bro, I'm still asleep. Hey, bro,
are you fucking up?
What's happening? Or, you know, now I can hear it on the...
so on. It's 5 a.m. Give it 2 more hours.
But now I can hear it on my phone and on the app. And, you know, I hear Eric fucking laugh or tell a story and it makes me smile. You know what I mean? Or y'all talking, it makes me fucking happy. You know, or if I'm going through the fucking things and I see your photos or I see your girl's fucking paintings or things that happen, it makes me happy. Mm. Before, I had nobody to talk to because everybody I used to talk to, I'm on a different page.
Yeah.
You know, they kept wanting to pull me back that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I'm telling you, bro, I hate to cut you off, but you made it okay for me to scream that I cheer for my friends. Yeah. It's because of you that made it, like, obvious to me that you're screaming, that you're cheering for me, that I can say, oh, fuck, I don't have to hide my cheers for my boy here, my boy here, and you. Like, I fucking scream that I cheer for y'all.
Yeah.
And that's all because of you, bro. Yeah. Because I would cheer for my boys, but it wasn't, like, loud and proud. Mm-hmm. Like, you've painted a fucking picture in my mind that, like, I strive to be and I am now because of you, bro.
Yeah, amen,
like,
to that.
You've done a lot of positivity for me, man, within the last couple of years, you know?
Like, yeah. Much of you are appreciated, brother. And I know I don't bring up your military stuff because I know we've talked about it off camera. Like, that's not what you're looking for. You know, respect on different levels for me goes to y'all guys, whether it's through going to college, you know, doing some crazy shit that I could never do or would do. There's respects on different level. Since we've kind of all got back together, man, my respect for you has gone through the roof because I see you how you are as a father. And you, like I said, you're open about it. You didn't have the most loving upbringing. The way you are with your son, man, me and my girls, we love that. Because you're tough, but you're like, that's my baby, dude. Yeah. And you show a different side to me. Like, we all have different relationships. You and JP, y'all both married, so y'all can have that kind of relationship. With you, man, you're like an encouraging brother. Like, for me personally, like, hey, I'm proud of you, bro. Like, I think it was one day I was doing like 4 or 5 yards, you're like, damn, bro, you know, when are you going to take a break? But just that encouragement, it keeps me going. Because, like you said, I didn't have a lot of people either. Before JP reached out to me, man, I was going through a divorce. Even people I went to church with were doing me wrong. So I completely shut the door on anybody and everybody. So for y'all two to open up that door and pick up like it was junior high days again, like, hey, dude, if there's anything I've ever done, my bad. Oh, no. You have brought a light to a lot of people. And maybe it is the crap you went through, the darkness you had to go through. You bring a light to a lot of people, bro. Seeing you coach T-ball, you know, I wish you could see yourself coach, man. I take a lot of pictures. I'm not obsessed with you, but I take a lot of pictures of you.
He's taking pictures of your ass.
And you don't heart him. And you don't heart him.
You don't heart him.
You know what?
You don't heart
that's
back.
That's the truth, bro. He doesn't heart my fucking pictures. I guess they got to be blurry.
I
got to be a single mom. Oh, my bad.
But, you really, it is encouraging, bro, because, like, I'm all about, you know, like we always say, well, fluff your ass, you know, suck your dick. You being you're serving for your country, serving for your family, serving for your partners, bro. But also being open, it's not easy for a man. A lot of us guys, maybe people that are listening, to open up and say, this is how I truly feel. So you being open and transparent, somebody's going to listen to that and be like, oh, he's going through that, or you know, or oh, I'm not the only person going through that. If you don't hear it enough, bro, you are badass. And I love you to death,
you're
bro.
You're a bad like, motherfucker, bro.
I love you to death, brother, because my girls...
You are a bad motherfucker, bro.
I hope you know that, bro. Yeah. Salute, seriously. Man.
That other one, I don't think I got no more.
And I'm glad that you're here today, brother.
I am. Yeah,
man. I think you needed to hear that you are very well, much appreciated by me, by Thomas. I love you like none other, but you've changed my life in a more positive way than you could ever fucking imagine, bro. And that's all because of you, man.
For real.
And not to get so deep, but my mother, bro, like, my mother, I want to say maybe ninth grade education on her. And
shout out.
Yeah. You too. Yeah, I feel you. Like,
no, bro, you would never know.
Oh, I love
you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she was the most smartest person. Okay, so my dad expected shit out of me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, he just expected it. My mother was my very first best friend, but not only that, like, she always believed in me.
Yes, sir.
Always.
Yes, sir.
And fucking everything that I did, she was always there. So I tell you all this because my mom worked from 5 p.m. to 2 in the morning. And so she wasn't there for none of my sports shit, right? So I'll never forget this, and I've never told her this, but I'm at a powerlifting meet at Lobakai, and it's the Lobakai one. Because, you know, you always travel everywhere, but there's all that main one at Lobakai. And I didn't even tell her. Like, I never told her none of my schedule or whatever. And I'm about to do a deadlift, and it's a weight that I'm unsure of. Like, I'm like, man, I don't know if I got this, coach. Like, I think you upped it too much.
Yeah.
And if anybody that does powerlifting, deadlift is the last lift. Because it goes it goes squat first, bench, and then deadlift. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm about to get disqualified because coach upped the weight on deadlift way too much. I wish I could tell you the amount, but it was way over like 600 pounds. I don't know the amount, but it was a weight I'd never done. And I told the coach, I was like, why did you tell him to up it that much? I've never done that weight. I'm about to go up. Like, so my number gets called. I'm about to go up. And I look and I see my mom walking into Chapman Field, bro, with my sister.
Oh, wow.
So she's like, she waves at me. Oh. And I kind of like walk slowly so she can go sit down. And she sits down. And I get up to the weight. And in my mind, I'm like, I can't fucking let my mom see me fail, you know? I can't fuck this up. Dude, I get to the bar and it's go time and it's the lightest fucking weight I've ever fucking picked up. Like, boom, I get all three white lights, let it go, boom. And then I was like, holy fuck. Like, holy shit. And that was the second weight. So the third weight, I'm like, fuck, let's give it like 50 pounds. Fuck it.
My mama's here.
Yeah, my mom is here.
Yeah.
And the third rep, I go up there with 50 plus pounds. Then more than I've ever fucking even imagined of even working or trying. I get up there and I'm boom, fucking again. And I was like, God dang, this was all because my mom walked in and like saw me. And she ain't ever... I think she's probably seen like maybe two or three varsity football games, but she walked in on that powerlifting meet and I was just like, holy shit. Like it did like some supernatural shit to me. My dad always was working, and my dad, you can say, was the money maker, but we had health insurance through my mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know what she got paid, but it wasn't more than my dad. Like, in so many ways, my mom provided for me more than my dad ever did. Yeah. She was, like I said, my very first best friend. I knew that if I told her anything, all my uncles, her brothers were going to know everything. But I would still run to tell her my whole life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I told her everything. Like I said, health care, like through inch, was all under her. Dude, like, when me and my wife were actually starting to get serious, it sucks to say this, but when we were starting to get serious, I would, you know, we were always out of town, you know, sporting events. We were always out of town. I would get into town and my mom was my first call. Yeah. Mom, I'm in town. Whew, okay, okay, baby. I'll see you later. I'll see you whenever, blah, blah, but I'm glad you're okay. Yeah. She was my first call. Like, hey, I'm in town. I'm okay. Yeah. Like, she's been my number one fan, but, and I always say this, if you got one person that believes in you, like, motherfucker, you can conquer the world.
Oh, yeah.
And she has always been my believer. Yeah. She's always believed in me.
Biggest fan,
and yeah, man. She's been everything to me.
Yeah, she.
Awesome, man.
I'm grateful that you have your mom, bro. Like, you know, growing up, getting to be around there, one of the sweetest people I've ever known. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, never shut the door on none of us. You know, open the door. If y'all had it, we had it. And that's something that I think I took a little bit from your family growing. Your dad was awesome as shit. He'd give us all crap. But your mom, you know, she'd come home from work, and if me and you were up from a party or something, she made sure if we were hungry, we
ate. Hungry.
Yeah. And I would want to spend the night over there just to hang out there. And yeah, and I'm grateful because, you know, it's funny when we talk about our stuff, we come from broken families in a lot of aspects, whether it's through the arguments and fighting. And a lot of my release was hanging out, going to y'all's houses. Of course, I didn't know back then what you were going through. So when you talked about the last podcast, or even when we're hanging out sometimes all week by yourself having to go to school, I could kind of relate in the sense, because my mom, a nurse, she worked what, 5 days six days straight, and then she'd be off 2 days. Well, those 2 days she went and fucking partied, hung out, and I was, you know, a titty baby, man. I'd watch John Wash, America's Most Wanted. Like, I don't want to see my mama on there. But it always made me want, for real, bro. I was a big, oh, bro, shit. She'd come home Sunday night, be like, Mom, where were you? You left Friday. But it made me, you know, I've always been a protector of my mom. And unfortunately, you know, I probably prevented her from, not saying just me and my brothers, we didn't want her to date after my dad and stuff. But once she was able to date and see that wasn't her thing, she'll tell you to this day she didn't remarry because of her boys, because she didn't want to put us through the typical, you know, stepdad thing, stuff that would happen like that. So I always felt like she sacrificed some of her happiness for our own.
And I got to say this, that I've dated nothing but single moms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is, you know? And I've said it before. I've always known that all of my relationships were not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But once, you know, she saw me and my wife, like, getting serious, she sat me down. And she's like, I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh, fuck, my mom's never done this. Like, who's dying? Who's sick? And she goes, she has a son. And it is not his fault that you are in his life and, you know, his dad's not around. It's not his fault. So you better treat that kid nice.
That's better.
Don't treat him ugly. Like, don't treat him any other way than be nice to him. And, you know, if y'all are getting serious, then be a dad to him. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what the fuck? Like, who the fuck is this lady? You know what I mean? Because she's never talked to me like this, never. And then, you know, a few years down the line, of course, we get married. And then I think to myself, God damn, my mom was a badass lady, because she kind of did put it in my head, like, hey, don't treat this kid like shit. Yeah. Like, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
And, it, when you said that fucking struck a chord. Like, I forgot that. My mom told me that.
Yeah, it's because it's being a single parent, you know. I grew up with, you know, my dad had a few wives, so a lot of them were single moms. That's why I love him so much, because I felt bad. But, yeah, seeing that struggle of having to raise kids on their own. I was lucky to have great cousins and aunts and uncles on. Some of them not so great, but I was able to escape some of that childhood trauma of a divorce. My mom just, you know, she found a way, bro. Like, I give her, you know, credit for going to school, but she always had a meal. I never missed a meal. You could tell by my body. You know, she did the best she could, but it made me want to be a better dad, you know, going through my shit. Cause I used to tell, my mom would tell me, if you can do it, Tommy, you know, she'd always tell me, Tommy, if I can do it, I have to do it. So And oh, I love that crazy white woman. She gets on my damn nerves sometimes, but I would take a bullet for her. But and it's not. And before I get out, I want to also shout out my stepmoms. I say that a lot, but I love my stepmoms on a level, you know, close to my mother, just because, man, they loved me when they didn't have to, you know. And yeah. I've had a couple maybe that didn't treat me well, and I wish them well.
But also the ones that you love kind of kept you in line, too.
Oh, man, Charlotte yeah. and Lori, man. Shout out to Charlotte and Lori. They, yeah, those women, even when my kids graduated.
You were a wild motherfucker,
man,
bro.
And you were. And they loved me, and yeah. And they're helping, even with my kids' graduation, bro. But all my stepmoms and my mom, they're like, what do we need to do? I can make potato salad. I can make rice.
I've said this story many millions of times, but it'd be like we're in seventh grade. It's like 1 a.m. and I'm sneaking on the phone calling Thomas, and his mom's like, is Tommy here? And I'm like, who the fuck? Like, where the fuck is Thomas at 1 in the morning in seventh grade? Like,
yeah. Does your mom even care about you, bro? Yeah. For real, it's hard. She's country white girl. You give her some beer and some Billy Rock and Roll back then. She didn't give a shit.
And then I get to school and he shows up. I'm like, where the fuck were you? He's like, oh, I was so-and-so. Like, God damn, when the fuck did you go home?
And you're here?
Yeah.
On that note, man, we'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Yo, play. Where is Dragon Breath Ass Bilal? That sucker's late again. The honeys are getting restless, dog.
I know, kid. He's been mad bugging lately.
Yo, homie. Honestly, I'm tired of waiting on old Dragon Breath Bilal.
I bet. I know just the person.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Kipo.
We need you, bruh. We got a house party and no DJ.
I got y'all, man.
Feels good.
Another party saved by none other than DJ Kipo.
Ladies, B-Love's in the house.
Real Dragon Breath.
You've been replaced, dog.
Who you talking to?
Give DJ Kipo a call for all your party needs. He DJs quinceañeras, graduations, weddings, and all other types of parties. He can be reached at 806-441-0491 or on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Hey man, I don't think we should be out here on the farm so late. Can't the goats and sheep wait to be taken care of, like, till tomorrow?
Normally, yes. But you know, that thing has been lurking around town lately.
Okay, well, let's just hurry. It's cold and I'm scared of the dark.
Okay. Let's just get the animals put in the... Oh, no.
Oh, man. It's the...
Chupacabra.
You. What's good, my guys? Just thought I'd drop in on my favorite bras. Maybe see if you dudes had anything I could nosh on.
Please, bro. Don't eat our goats.
Yeah, man. Please. Spare the little cuties.
Ew. That's way harsh, my dogs. What kind of mythical urban legend do you take me for? I need something much less gnarly than barn animals.
Bro, then we got just the thing for you.
Yeah, man. Why don't you check out Tigre Burritos?
Tigre Burritos? Nice. Like, what kind of grinders would I be partaking in?
Well, they offer breakfast burrito combinations that include sausage, chorizo, potato, and egg.
And they offer lunch burritos that include beef and chicken fajitas, barbacoa, carne guisada, chile verde, and more.
And if you're feeling something other than a burrito, they also serve quesadillas and menudo.
Dude, that's wicked perfect for when the chupacabra had too many cervezas the night before and wakes up feeling all goose and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, Theater Burritos is open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they're located at 720 Highway 62 in Wolford, Texas.
Yeah, go terrorize them instead of us.
I'm so stoked to stuff my pie hole with delish comida. I always thought you guys were some kind of posers, but you're really some OGs for hipping me to Tigre Burritos. I'm going to go and pick up my Betty right now and cruise on down there. Thanks, Broseph.
No problem, Chupacabra. Shaka.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
And we're back. All right, man, let's do this.
Well, let's do it again.
I got to celebrate the man that don't drink. We're going to take a fucking shot, man.
Love you, brother.
Love you, fuckers, man. That's good shit. Woo-hoo. I brought the low proof shit. I think that's only 100 proof. So you're good.
All right, thank you.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna call a designated driver for me and someone.
The DD.
The DD.
And call the Uber. She's got double D's.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you grew a hair. Yeah, right here on my shoulder.
You know what's fucked up? Like, seriously? Growing old in age, hair's growing. Like, what the fuck? I got hair on my shoulders.
Why
on
do you think
back?
I brought that up? I had one right here when I was getting here. I was like, I had my muscle shirt on.
When the fuck did I have hair on my back ever?
My daughter used to tell me, can I shave your back? Now they're too old. They're like, that's gross.
I'm on Amazon used to want to shave buying those bullshit as you see on TV trimmers for my ear hair. Like, what the fuck?
Good, I'm not the only one.
Yeah,
good.
Man.
They're like, it's disappearing up here, but it's growing right under your shit.
And it's crazy because, like, I could have swore, like, day before yesterday, I looked at my shoulder and I didn't see that little hair. And then all of a sudden, I wake up and it was fucking long.
I'm sure no one ever will look at me in public. But if I have a ear hair, my wife like, you have a fucking hair in your ear? I'm thinking, oh, everybody's done seen this shit. Like, what the fuck? I'm all mad.
She's like, no, just me. I was the one nibbling on it.
Again, mine look like I'm wearing earmuffs and shit.
With that being said, man, Thomas, you own your own business. I mean, I'll get to someone. He does too. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it easy for you to accept advice?
Now it is, yeah. Yeah. Because I look at it, criticism, constructive criticism, anything, you know, especially from like brothers or something. Yeah, it's easier for me to take advice because.
Yeah. Well, that's criticism.
Okay, so advice like.
It's constructive criticism.
Okay, so yeah, advice like.
Tell you how to cut your yard different or this way or that way.
If you gave me pointers like. Advice like now from just random people, it still might be like, man, you don't know what the fuck you're talking
exactly,
about,
right?
Yeah, I'll get some people tell me, you know, especially with my work, they'll tell me, like, I seen this video, or if you try this way, I was like, well, shit, if you want that, pay me a little bit extra and I'll do it. But yeah, taking advice does, I guess my brothers taught me, you know, coaching and shit like that. I have no problem taking advice from somebody because they may not know what the fuck they're talking about, or they might have something that I can pick their brains, you know what I mean. So, yeah, I can take advice from somebody.
Yeah, no, I take advice often, but I don't take advice from just anybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I know, because I know that I'm good at some stuff, and you want to come ask me for the advice on those things, but I don't know a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah,
and I know people that have different disciplines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That I know are gonna have the fucking answer. Yeah. And so I'm always seeking out people that are advanced in their education and also in whatever trade they decided in. And so I will ask questions, or they should just tell me something in general, a life question or life answer, hack or whatever it is. You know, if you are listening to a extremely intelligent 70-year-old man who is 100% still with it, and he decides to give you advice, you better listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's honestly what I was about to say about you is not everyone has access to some highly successful people on a day-to-day basis like you do.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of your clientele is a lot of successful people in this town.
That can keep you motivated, right?
Oh, man, dude. So, yeah, I tell people that I learned a shit ton at Texas Tech. I learned more post-Texas Tech simply because of the people that I've been hanging out with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, I might hang out with a cardiologist, and then I might hang out with an attorney, and then I might hang out with a housewife that's married to an attorney.
Well, fuck, let's keep it real, bro. Like, you were telling the mayor, Dan Pope, on shit that he should do.
Yeah. Like, I actually told him, too, right? And he's like, that sounds like a terrible idea. Like, I would never do that. I go, you would never do that. I said, but you got to also go to think about that the people in the city are not thinking what you're thinking. You just don't like it because you don't like it. I go, but if you're truly trying to make money for this city, you should do what I suggested.
Yeah, tap into other opportunities. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, and then I fuck with him at least two or three times a week. We don't have a yes sir type of relationship. We have a fucking roast motherfucker relationship. If we didn't roast each other, like something's off for the day, right? Cool. It's so yeah, dude. It's pretty common. For me to be getting advice from people that have been there before, and or you're trying to get or love to be where they're at. Exactly.
Yes, sir. And my brother Mike, I try to pick his brain as much as possible because he does a lot of the coaching conventions. So he'll send me pictures with Vrabel, the Tennessee coach, Mark Rule, and to me, I take pride in that. I was like, man, that's my brother. You know, I was like, he sent a picture one time. I think it was Vrabel, Rule, and somebody else, and I was like, look at my brother with millionaires, and you're an offensive coordinator, and he's like, I'm on my way. Uh-huh. But it's real cool because, yeah, you know, what's the old saying? If you're the smartest or the best person in the room, you might want to find another room.
Yeah, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, you always want to, you know, level up and keep moving up, and I love that. And shout out to Mike, man. I can say it now. He was the finalist for the head coaching job in Tulia. He didn't get it, but he was a top two finalist, and man, as a little brother, man, I love my brother. I have so much pride, and since we were kids and we talked about coaching football, and it's been a dream for him to be a head football coach, but he was that close, and I was hurt for him, disappointed. He told me, he's like, no, God's got something for me, man.
He came a long way from buying us beers at Club Rio.
I remember he got a DWI. I can say it now, but he was at Cavazos. He was teaching at Cavazos, and you know, he made a bad decision. You're not a bad person, but we all went out, and he drove, and he calls me, Batman, pick me up. I need a designated driver. So I'm on my way to go get him. When I get there, fucking cops, he fell asleep in his truck. So next day, I bailed him out. He's like, hey, can you take me to school? He's like, don't say shit. I was like, I'm on my way, coach. But yeah, he's come along, man, beautiful. He's a great person. You know, far from perfect, but he almost got the head coaching job. So maybe the next one will happen.
Yeah, next one. Hell yeah.
Someone, you have trouble taking advice?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, never.
Nah, I mean, it depends, like Eric said, man, depends on who it is.
Yeah.
If it's just somebody who's never done construction or run a restaurant, I'm like, fuck.
No,
whatever.
You can't. You know what I mean?
But if it's like an old school painter, I'm going to hear what you got to say. Let me see. Yeah, maybe I can find it quicker way. Because if you can show me something, you can always learn shit or you pick up shit doing stuff, right? So I'll listen to certain, depends on, like he said, who it is. Like if Mark from Jimenez or one of them guys had some advice for me, I'd fucking listen, man. Because those dudes have been in the game a long fucking
time.
Shout
out Mark, man.
Shout out definitely. Jimenez. Yeah. I just went over there yesterday, I think, or the day before and got me something to eat.
I still haven't went, man. I need to.
They gave out like free cake for Mother's Day and shit.
Oh, shit.
What? Like,
yeah.
I think he said he was going to have me some for tomorrow. Yeah. He saved it for all of us. That's what he said.
I'm on my way.
And I know he don't lie.
No, man, but I'm with you, to be honest. I would love to seek advice on the shit that I'm seeking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Anytime I'm seeking some advice, I can't get no help. You know? And like I'm like going to YouTube for shit.
Yeah.
But the shit that I've mastered, I got a motherfucker critiquing me. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like,
that's never done it
you
before.
Have no fucking, like, you have no clue the years of experience I've had in the gym or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They want to give me, like, nah, like, you know, hold the weight. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
dude, I've done
you got to breathe out. It's
And I'm doing it, and they're like, how long is it going to take? I said, it'll take about 4 or 5 days, right? They're like, well, I was watching this, and it only took, I was like.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you watch the 20-minute episode.
You watch a fucking episode.
That took
edit
3 weeks to fucking make.
And so you got to bite your tongue because, you know, they're your client and you're trying to keep them happy. And it's just like.
The old you wants to tell me to shut the fuck up.
Like, well, fucking do it yourself then. Rough. You know what I mean? But it's just like, those guys are, you know what I mean? Those guys, they got like fucking 100 dudes with them. Yeah. You know?
And they got fucking other equipment that fucking was like. To put you up there. Like, I don't have that equipment. We're going to use scaffolds.
What I had to learn was like doing my type of work. You know, we do it the faster we do it, they'd be like, well, why is it so much if y'all do it so quick? Because I'm a fucking.
Oh yeah.
Like we've developed a system to where we can work fast.
You pay me for what I know, not fucking my time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, it's actually for the fucking job. Like, yeah. How beautiful is it?
Exactly.
Like,
because they wouldn't pay you extra if it took you longer than
come
you
on,
said.
Come on.
Right. Because if you said I was gonna take 4 or 5 days, it took you 7. Well, now you gotta give me
more. Unless you're like my mom.
Well, she paid extra.
God, dude, my mom's got such a soft heart, bro. Like 2 years ago, some dude that was going door to door that was like, hey, you want to mow your yard mowed or whatever? She's like, I need my yard mowed. This asshole didn't have a blower.
Oh, shit, left.
So this asshole would like lift the lawnmower and use the blade fan as a fan.
Yeah.
And this asshole went and like lifted the lawnmower to blow the little sidewalk that she's got in front of her glass door, and he shattered it.
Fuck.
And my mom still paid him, bro. No. My mom still was like, it's okay, we understand, we'll pay you. And I'm like, you should have told that motherfucker to come back, fix the glass, and not paid him.
Yeah,
and my mom was like, no, well, he needed money. I'm like, get yeah, no, damn, no.
I can't talk too much hell shit. No. I paid somebody to
bring
it.
I'm kind of,
he was cutting my grass, man. He had his whole family in the car.
Damn.
Right? And he had a car that had a hitch for a little trailer. And he came and he cut my grass. He was going door to door. Spanish dude, right? And he was like, hey, man, I'll cut your grass. Da, da, da. This is like 5, 6 years ago. And I was like, yeah, cool, man.
Damn.
So he started cutting the grass. Well, Angel was opening the door to the glass door, and a rock just hit the thing, and it just shattered, right? It didn't fall out. It just fall like that. And she was like, what happened, right? And I looked. I was like, oh, shit, man. And he was like, oh, man, I'm sorry, right? So he cuts all the grass and stuff, and he was like, hey, it's going to be $35. And I was like, and the man was like, don't pay that motherfucker. You know Amanda, man.
Yeah. Me too. And I'm was like, just like, fuck that dude.
Bro.
I give him $40, right? And then he's like, I don't have change. I was like, yeah, it's cool, man.
Damn.
So Amanda's like, well, the fucking door, da, da, da. I said, nah, man, they're like 60.
He didn't even acknowledge that he's, no,
he knew,
fuck
he just
that
said sorry.
Damn,
and so I was like, fuck. So I paid the dude $40 and he fucking leaves, right? And I'm telling Amanda, oh, the door's only going to be like $60,
shit,
babe. You know,
bullshit.
The kids were in the car.
$400 later.
I go to fucking, it was Sutherland's at the time before his home base. It was like fucking $249,
bro. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And I was like, fucking, the man was like, how much was the door? It was a little bit more, $80.
Yeah, you're lying. It was $80, babe.
I used a business card so it would have come out on my fucking regular card. I was like, oh, bro. And then I was like, fuck. So when you said that right now, I was just like, God damn, I can't say nothing.
Yeah, my mom did that same shit too, man.
Well, this past weekend, I broke this. They had a spigot in the middle of the, and it was an old couple. And it wasn't my fault, but I paid for it to get fixed and felt like shit. And they're like, oh, we're sorry. And it was hidden under the bushes, but I kicked it and cracked it over. So the old me would have just said, fuck this job, I'm out. They can figure it out, right? I didn't know what to do, kind of panicked, made a post, and luckily a kid I worked for his mom many years ago.
Saw that post.
He came out there, he's like, hey, I'll fix it for you. And he showed me, he's like, all you need is this, then cap it off. And he was like, man, just give me $30, Thomas. Shout out Christian, great kid, man. I was like, how about I give you $75, bro? You saved my ass. Well, the old couple, I was like, I'll come out of my pocket. I only charge them $100 to do their shrubs, so I was going to make a $30 profit. The husband calls me. He's like, Mr. Rios, I appreciate you. He's like, I'm sorry, but long story short, they paid me what they owed me. But I learned something that day because, I broke shit and I felt bad. So
I saw that, bro. I didn't know you broke it.
Bro, that's like,
what are you doing? Did you fuck me up? You made me. You're calling me.
I'll heart your picture later. That's like the third time that's happened. And the first couple of times, I didn't know shit. Water's flying everywhere. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to quit this job real quick. But now I'm learning the problem.
You're trying to get paid, water falling out behind him.
Now he knows how to fix it.
Yeah, I'm finished.
I'm done.
But I learned, man. And I thought about just, I was going to just, once I got it fixed, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to charge them. And, luckily they still blessed me. And now they asked me if I can go back and mow their yard. So I was like, I fucked up. And then a blessing came out of it. So, I would have paid too, bro. But I broke plenty of windows. And I tell people I was going to do auto zones for a while, like 6 of them. But they wanted me to be insured. I was like, well, I'm working on that. I was like, but I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll insure you, bro.
Will you?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give you.
Be on JP. $10,000 right now.
Be on the JP.
I got you, bro. I'll just send it to you and just give it to them.
I'm insured by the JP Lopez show.
The general.
Yeah. The general. Right now.
Call JP Lopez. But no, that shit sucks, man. But it's part of business, and I'm learning. So
unfortunately, it is, man.
It really is, brother.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Dude, I bet your insurance is a mother.
Dude, it's a fucking motherfucker, bro. And then when I do stuff for people and shit gets, like, I have my guys and they fuck it up and it's just like, fuck, man. And I still got to pay these assholes. Yeah. And fucking have them redo it all. And just like,
yeah, bro. You're like, Dad, don't come to this site.
No. For real. My sister told my dad about what I was saying. He's like, oh, so you don't like me to go? I mean, I just want to see you do real good. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You talking all this shit now. You go home or you're going to fuck me up.
Girl, I know you, Dad. I know you.
But yeah, man, it's tough. That's why I told you. I said, man, that's good business. You took care of them. They will call you back later.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, because I know a lot of fucking painters. Shout out my boy Jay that won't go fucking back, bro. He'll fucking like, oh, I'm gonna give you his number too.
I don't know if I want it.
Nah, he's good.
Nah, dude. He took care of me, bro.
Yeah, no, he does good, man. But he's more of like, ah, they're already fucking talking shit. Fuck him.
Fuck, I'm done.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm more like still into it till I fucking make it right. That way, if they ever talk shit about me, I could be like, nah, motherfucker.
I made it right. I
made it right. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have to do business no more together.
Yeah.
But you can't talk shit on me. It's fixed. You know what I mean?
True. Your name.
You know what I mean? Jay's like, fuck them. You know what I mean? There's almost 300,000 people here.
Yeah. On to the next one. On to the next one.
I can't thank you enough. You know, continuing on the dick sucking excursion. Like, you've made my house so beautiful.
Yeah, that shit's dope.
We had a good time. What was that, Midnight Wolf?
I haven't gone to it yet.
Dude. It was a Midnight Orchid or some bullshit.
Dude, I actually sold his color concept to some other people, and we went with it. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, check this out, man.
I mean, the gray and black trim is not your typical, but our fucking, you turn the corner, and like, as soon as you can turn the corner, going to my house, you can see my house sticks out, and I was like, man, that's such a fucking badass house. And Sun One fucking went out there and did it all on his own. Yeah. I felt like
it looks nice.
I know. You made him work
on
his days
off.
And
then he's like, nah, man, like, you don't have to be here. I was like, the fuck I do? Like, I feel like a dick.
You hear
like,
me? I was like, you made him work on your days off. You're, hey, it's your day off. You coming to do my house or what?
Yeah, and then I'm all doing shit.
You know, what was funny, your girl's mom, that first day I was there, and I think all we did was power wash it or something right? So we were loading up. Did I have somebody with me, didn't I? I had that. I had Jason, the one that called me.
Okay.
And I had him power wash everything, right? So we were loading up, and she came out. She goes, you already leaving early? God dang Mexicans. I was like, I know, man. I'm so sorry.
You already going on break.
You should have opened a beer in front of her.
But she was laughing the whole time, you know what I mean? I was like, I know, I'm sorry.
It's like our dads. Y'all finished already?
You can't hurt my feelings. There's you know so who my dad is?
Why am I paying you this much?
But he's laughing, man. And then the whole time, man, JP was out there. Nah, bro, go inside, bro. I got this, dog. He's like, nah. So he's out there. And then I forgot you had to do something, right? A meeting or something?
Yeah, I had to go to work.
Oh, yeah. You were
at a meeting at
tell your son. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. I said, nah, bro, it's cool. He's like, nah, fuck that. He could get up, right? So he comes out the first day, and he's helping me out there and stuff like that, bro. I was like, and he had his girl there. I'm like, bro, you can go back inside.
No, did she help? Put her ass to work, too.
If you want to be here, you're going to got to go to work.
Yeah. Hey, my dad said for us to come outside. Both of us? Yes, both of us. Not me, it's him.
Hey, you wanted to stay here?
Put your chonies back on. Let's go.
Let's go.
So he helped me, and then we got to the back window, right? And I was like, hey, tell him that he needs to get some ventilation in this back room. I said, is this a bathroom? And he was like, yeah. I said, tell them they need to work on that ventilation in there. He was like, oh, okay, right. And I could tell he kind of didn't get what I was saying. Yeah. And I'm working while I'm talking. So I'm talking away from him, and the airless is going off, and he's over here, right? So we're going on. The next day, JP's out there, and he was like, hey, my son said that I needed some insulation.
I go, hey, bro, I'm calling you because... fucking Isaiah said that I needed insulation in the fucking. I go, we're painting it, bro. Why I need insulation? He goes, dude, I said ventilation. I go, God damn. This fucking kid.
I was like, oh, man. But yeah.
That's awesome, dude. That's badass.
But yeah, they
tried. He tried, damn.
They were both out there trying to.
Yeah. So it was recently his birthday, right? And
oh, yeah, shout out.
So he told my wife, I'm at my girlfriend's house, but I'll go home later. So later was like at night, like in the morning. We're already asleep, yeah. Right? So I'm walking around in my fucking chones and shit, fucking taking all day off. My whole morning is in my chones. But that's my routine, yeah. You know? Like, it's my fucking kingdom castle, you know? Like, so then I take my wife to go eat, and we fucking come back, and I fucking see her, and I was like, you've been here all day? Like, she goes, yeah, we came last night. And I was like, you were here this morning? She was like, yeah. I go, I'm so glad you didn't fucking come out that room. I was just fucking in my tarantarans all fucking like.
You're in your cheetah print.
He said, and it was thong.
That thong, the thong, thong, thong.
Like, you would have been grown up real fast. Now I know what a grown man looks like.
Oh, my God. That's what it is. Yeah.
So, before we leave, man, I'll ask y'all this, man. Someone, how often do you talk to yourself?
All the time, man.
For real?
All the time. Answer myself, talk to myself, talk shit to myself, laugh at myself.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Coach yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, God damn, I got to go fucking. Because, you know, you used to, I mean, all of us do. Like, you're like, fucking, I don't feel like doing this shit. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready. Like, God damn, I'm fucking going to tell everybody just to, I'm not, I'll be there later. Mm-hmm. And there I'm out at the fucking door. And then I'm like, God damn. You know, sometimes I won't even turn on the radio. And I'm just talking to myself. Like, God,
that's when you know you have a lot of shit on your brain.
I got to do this. And then this stupid motherfucker keeps calling me. I know that he's going to need lunch money. And then I wasn't there yesterday at that job. I know they fucked it up. Or then I got people calling me, the homeowners. And they're like, golly.
And he's all thinking, is Thomas going to like my pictures today?
And she made all these tamales. Did Thomas buy them all?
He hit me up. He goes, hey, did you buy her out? I was like, what tamales? Oh, she still has tamales.
And Freddie's calling me.
Complaining how hard CDL license is.
He don't want to text me. He's calling me.
And I get confused. I'm always texting him, and he don't answer. I never call Freddie. So.
And then he's like, these diet shots that I'm taking aren't working. Yeah. I'm only eating the family pack of bean burritos at 2 in the morning. I don't know what's wrong.
But I'm fasting. That's my eating window.
I'm only eating once a day at 12 and at 1 in the morning. So it's only an hour difference. I stopped eating at 12:59. Like, goddamn, man. Fucking Freddy.
Do you talk to yourself often?
You know, I didn't know that I was talking to myself until I thought about that I was talking to myself.
Because I was looking at myself in the mirror, having some loving.
I was talking to myself when they grabbed my ankles. One story. Hey! Well, Bradley, I started talking to myself when he said, I think I got it.
I think I got it. He's like, what am I getting myself into?
They don't know the stories. Those are stories that are talking off air.
Those are off-air stories.
Those are Patreon
subscribers. So subscribe to those.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I remember them vividly.
Oh, shit. Well, we got them recorded, right?
Oh, shit.
Man.
Yeah, no, I don't take time out to think that I'm talking to myself because actually every single hour I'm busy.
Yeah.
And so I have an entire schedule, so my next person comes in. So I'm not going to be thinking to myself if I'm talking to you, right? Yeah. So I'm talking, and then the next one, talking. And so, but on Sundays, I typically go to the gym when it's closed, and I do my own thing there. And I get in the swimming pool. I do some walking exercises, and I get in the sauna. I have music on, but I'm actually thinking to myself. Whatever pops into my head, it might be just some fucking random ass shit that happened 15 years ago, and I'm like, God damn, that was stupid. I should have did this. Yeah, or whatever. Or I might be like, oh fuck, if I just do it this way, it'll correct an issue or whatever. So everything that I'm doing is pretty much constructive. At one point, I didn't have dreams. I had thoughts. Hmm. I didn't have these crazy. I guess in the last 7 or 8 years, I have had actual dreams that, not that they don't make sense, but kind of like sci-fi-ish in my mind. Everything that I ever dreamt of prior to that was not sci-fi. It was a concrete thing, maybe a scenario. I didn't know the answer to something. And it could be easy stuff like, what the hell happened to my barbecue? And then it was like, oh, shit, I should have used this seasoning.
Yeah, okay.
So next time I use that seasoning and it fucking comes out real good, right?
Did you ever have deja vu doing that?
I've never had deja vu dreaming. I've had deja vu awake. So I just come into a situation and I'm like, oh, shit. I was just fucking, was that deja vu?
Isn't that deja vu, though?
Yeah, where you're
basically
awake.
Like you...
It used
you
to be
remember,
a club, though.
Yeah, deja vu. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I dated a girl named Deja.
Deja.
And La vu. La vu.
La vu.
I miss her.
I should call her. You just show up to a scenario or a thing or a person or whatever, and you're like,
yeah,
I've been here before.
Yeah, yeah.
I really have been here before. So, yeah. And then. So, yeah.
Mirage. 99.
I guess I do think to myself. Yeah. I talk to myself or whatever.
But you don't think. You're not always thinking that you're thinking.
Yes.
Talking to yourself. I mean, yeah.
Because then sometimes I'm trying to keep a conversation or also give advice myself, right? Mm-hmm. I find myself that I'm a therapist also.
Right, being self-aware.
And which is kind of comical because I'm not a therapist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not perfect at all. Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I have an answer for you is because it's either happened to me or I know someone that told me that it happened.
Exactly.
And this is the route that they took to accommodate that issue.
That experience goes a long way. Yeah. And the sucks is this day and age, like especially my kids' age, they don't care if you've been through it. They kind of want to go through it themselves. Mm-hmm. So I've had to learn to, like, whether it's my nieces or my kids, you got to let them go through that fire on their own. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we know because we've been through certain things like that.
If it's harmless, I just let them fucking run straight into the fucking wall.
You gotta learn.
I'm like, oh, this motherfucker don't know jack shit. I'm just going to wait for it to happen.
Well, a lot of the time they need that.
To either
humble them. Yeah. Or just for a life lesson, like, motherfucker, you don't know shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like they say, you learn only two ways, the hard way or the harder way.
That's the truth.
If a kid came up to me and was like, hey, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and they tell me what the issue is, I'll give them the freaking advice right off the bat. And so they don't, or they mistake already happened, and they're like, I fucked up, and I don't even know what the fuck to do, and then I'll also give them the advice. Thereafter, and I tell people, I was like, I know this stuff, and it could be from fixing an injury to fixing whatever little dilemma you have. And I was like, I'm my own guinea pig.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever advice or idea or whatever I told you, it's because I've already done it. I've already dislocated my knee, and we have to do these exercises. Yeah. I've already fucked up the way that you are describing that you fucked up. I've already done that. And I've done it more than once. Yeah. Today was your first day. I did it like 8 or 9 times before I'm like, oh, goddamn, I keep on fucking up, right? Yeah. So I'm going to let you know right off the bat, don't do it like this, do it like that, blah, 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 whatever it is. And hopefully you use that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to fuck up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. You know, what do they say? If you don't learn from your mistakes or others' mistakes, you're bound to repeat them.
Yes.
So, you know, our experiences can teach other people. And that's we're all hard-headed, so whether they listen to it or not, yeah, you're able to help. I used to always try to give advice in junior high and high school and dating, and because I would learn from my brother's mistakes or my uncles or my dad, and I would want to help other people. But there's, I think it's Gangstar Guru, their old rap group from the 90s, New York. I think one of his verses, he says, it's often easier to give one advice than it is to deal with one's own life. And that's one of the truest shits I've ever, because I can give you all the advice in the world, but be at home struggling, going through my shit.
Yeah, doing the same shit.
So I'm learning, if I can take care of home base, then my advice has substance. Yes. Then somebody can be like, oh, he's been through it. He knows what he's talking about. Now,
yeah, because a lot of the time, like, it's hypocritical. Like,
This dude's
full of shit.
Yes, yeah.
Like, exactly. His life is in shambles. Yeah. He's giving me advice.
Right, and then a person like me feels that way, and I'm like, well, I don't want to give too much advice because then they're going to think of me as a hypocrite. But as I'm getting older, I realize, like, no, sometimes people can learn from your mistakes, you know, from the good and the bad. So, yeah, I try to pick the brains of, like I said, how you talked to the former mayor. Sometimes you want to pick the brains of those people and the crackhead that's on the corner. It's like, let me know what not to do with myself.
Yes.
And I'm trying to learn both ways, you know, either way. No. So.
Sidebar. This motherfucker, bro. Like, there'll be like a news story, you know, like Lubbock shit. And then, like, I don't know, a couple of days later, I'll go to the gym or we'll just link up and he's like, hey, man. So such and such, and I was like, oh yeah, I saw that story in the news, and then he gave me the whole story, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, shit.
I mean, because he knows the who's who in town, and he's like, oh yeah, my client told me this and this, and I was just like, oh, love that.
Dude, I didn't see that on the news.
I'm always, dude, I got inside sources. I've gotten stories where I was told, I'm going to tell you this story because I know you're interested in it and I think you should know, but I don't need you to tell not one soul until it comes out on the news. Okay. And so I have told one soul some of these stories, which is Alex, and I tell her, you cannot tell anybody. Nobody, yeah. And I won't even tell JP, I won't tell my brothers, I won't tell anybody because this person who told me this story in confidence was like, you cannot tell anybody.
You gotta protect your source.
And like, I trust JP, I trust my brothers or whatever. They're not gonna say nothing.
Yeah.
But it's the principle behind it that I cannot say this story until it breaks. And so I'm be sitting there fucking knowing fucking stories and shit for like months upon months, right? And they're like, hey, bro. They're all sending me text messages in the morning when it all breaks out. They're like, bro, did you see this? And I was like, yeah, I've known for 9 months.
Hey, when I go get a massage, let me know if you know anything about happy Indians getting busted. Yeah, Eric, is it cool to go or what?
Don't go to that salon. I'm going to let you know right now. If it's real easy to get a 15-year-old, it's an undercover cop, buddy. And I'm just going to let you know that right now. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Oh, shit. But from the time that fucking alarm, that morning alarm hits, I've said this a lot of times, I cannot get up at 4 in the morning to go work out.
No.
If my life depended on it, I can't do it. But once that alarm hits 4 a.m. to go to work, my ass is up. Boom. Yeah. Like, time to go to work.
Gotta get this shit going.
But as soon as that fucking alarm hits, I always snooze one time, which is a 5-minute snooze. As soon as that alarm hits, I immediately already talking to myself. Like, next alarm, get your ass up, boy. So, boom, next alarm, boom. And I'm in the shower, and I'm like, hey, time to thank God. So, I'm in the shower praying. So, then I get dressed, kiss my wife goodbye, get in the car. When I get in the car, it's like 6:10, and I tell myself, hey, thank the universe for everything you got. So on the drive to work, I'm like so thankful, and I'm saying thank you for everything. I get to work, I'm like, hey, it's quiet. Hey, start journaling.
That's awesome, bro.
I'm always telling myself, awesome, like, you know, talking to myself, and I'll journal everything. So then, all right, cool, boom, it's time to go to work. It's work time, and I'm telling myself, hey, get off your fucking phone, bitch. Yeah. Time to work. Like, earn your pay. So I'm fucking reading emails, and every fucking day there's like at least 60 emails every day from leaving from the night, the morning to go to the, you know what I mean? The night shift, go back to the morning. I've missed like 50 emails. Yeah. And all of them, like 85% of them are information that I need.
Yeah.
Go through fucking emails and I'm like, all right, bitch, like you're caught up. Hey, earn your pay. Like, mm-hmm. keep mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. Don't get on your phone. I'm talking to myself every fucking day.
Self-motivation.
So when it's my day off, dude, I talk to myself zero, like zero.
You shut that voice out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got you. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, but you can't stay doing that the whole entire time. You need to put your...
You got
to
have a release for it. Yeah,
you need to relax.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. Because I'm an overthinker. So when y'all talk about... When you saw what you texted about the topic, I talk to myself, whether it's I think I'm praying to God, talking to God. Sometimes, you know, even when we took a break, went to the restroom, I'm saying a prayer for my brothers real quick, just like, you know, Creator, watch over them, thankful for this moment. So, yeah, I think when we talk to ourselves or we pray or whatever, we are, one, it's you're motivating yourself, like you're saying, get up, I got one more rep, or let's make the best of today. So I think the more you talk to yourself in that sense, not like a schizophrenic, like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, but more of
like, you know... one less beer, or you know, one when you can talk to yourself and keep yourself in the right line, those boundaries and stuff. I think it's a good thing. Even in my stresses, I know I talk to myself like, "Damn, dude, why'd you do this?" Or if you would have just handled this different, what can I learn from this though? So when you talk to yourself, it can lead to the self doubt, or it can lead to what can I learn from this. So I think it's healthy when you talk to yourself. Now, if you see me talking to myself and like talking like bird talk, you know that something's wrong with me. I need some medication.
Well,
that time.
Saying that, I went to a Sonic this morning for breakfast. Right across from me is a dude. You can tell this motherfucker's lit off some kind of drug. This motherfucker's talking, like raising his hands, praising, but he's not praising. Like, yeah, he's talking to himself, and then he pulls out a box of fucking crackers from his jacket. Like, he had this big ass jacket. He pulls out a box of crackers. He takes out like half the sleeve, right? And he's drinking like an energy drink. Well, he starts pouring the energy drink all over his crackers. And then like he eats all, like he sandwiches all those crackers in his mouth. And like he's still like talking to himself and shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that motherfucker throw it off. Yeah. I actually saw that this morning.
Yo, God, thank you for where I'm at today. Yeah.
So across the street, there's a lady walking, right? And I can hear her talking, and she's walking by herself. And so now I'm standing next to my truck, and she looks at a bush. She goes, "What the fuck you looking at, bitch? I'll fuck you up. You know who the fuck I am. I'll fuck you up, bitch." And I was like, oh, yeah, this fucking lady, she is. Dude, it's fucking morning time, dude. It's not even lunchtime yet. And I was like, God damn. And then she fucking started walking. So I'm watching it, right? And I was about to pull out my phone so I could record some of this, right? Yeah, man, I have some fucking good-ass shit that happens across the street of Indiana, right? And so, yeah, dude, she just fucking, she gets to the alley, and she looks down the alley like, fuck you, bitch. You know who the fuck I am. Like,
yo, tell her,
flipping
tell
them
her.
Off and shit. And I was like, oh, goddamn. And I was like, I don't even know what the fuck she took.
She said, you ain't shit.
Encourage
her. What did she take, you think?
Tune in to the next time on the Real Housewives of the Arnon Benson. That's got to be ice, right?
Meth,
right?
Meth does be ice.
Mething around.
Yeah, mething around for real.
Think so?
It has to be,
yeah.
Bro.
Now, yeah.
Now, so do certain races take certain drugs?
I think so. God, I said that too quick.
Races,
so,
yeah.
I do.
So, I think homeless people take.
Yeah, but I think,
she didn't
like,
look homeless.
Like, if you stereotype, like, you would think.
She looked like she was going to
That's a good question. That's a badass question.
Yeah.
No, what he just said, do you think certain races take
I think white people.
Go into your thought.
Yeah, I think
white people
do
meth.
I think the majority. I'm not saying that Hispanics or blacks can't do meth.
Yeah.
Right,
but I think the majority overall, because they cook it, they're more of the cooks.
Yes. Okay, true.
And that's more of their thing.
True. Yeah, yeah.
True.
I think like crack is more of a black thing.
Black, yeah.
Right? Doesn't mean Mexicans or whites can't do it.
Yeah.
But I think overall it's their drug. And I think coke is a Mexican thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what about the homeless though?
Yeah.
You got to think though, meth is cheap to make, man.
Mm-hmm. But the homeless.
Yeah.
Because so, I see all different colors.
So they're going to grab what they can get. So,
and I see that same shit, yeah. like talking to themselves.
So the more that we help, like I enable them by giving money and stuff. So when you give them that $2, $3, if they can go find a $4 hit, that's their life. So
they could be freebasing some meth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Some laced up meth. See, too.
I think it's. Because it's a different, they have different legs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because meth is going to have them, it has longer legs for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's who they surround themselves around. Exactly, so it's more easy access for them.
So where can I get this?
Yeah, so if the majority of white folks are doing, and you're white, it's easy to deal with them versus being Hispanic and you buying coke. You know what I mean? Yes. What's easy accessible to you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, meth at one time, you pay $1,600 a zip.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can get a fucking zip for $400.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah.
Right? God damn. Seriously. For real?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And now cocaine is moved up on price. Now you're getting it for $12 to $1,000 a zip. Yeah. At one time, you're paying $600 to $800.
But cocaine's got fentanyl in it.
Shit, meth, anything
I
can.
I mean, so you get that, you hear that a lot, man, but. What I don't understand is why would they intentionally put that into your shit? You're killing your customers.
You're killing your customers, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're not wanting to kiss
that's
your customers.
That's more of a government thing, I think.
That's the secondhand man trying to make them have legs.
Because
if you have some fucking bullshit-ass coke and you want Scama, they're trying to lace it with something other than fucking baby laxative.
Yeah, exactly.
To give it legs. So they're going to use that.
So you still need to get high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the thing with fentanyl is that... it'll get you high, but it has to be a precise measurement.
If not,
and
kill
if you're a fucking mensal, like I'm just gonna start selling some drugs, and you don't know how to fucking measure, you don't know how to fucking do all that shit, you're going to fucking kill your customers.
Look at Mac Miller, bro. That's how Mac Miller died. Yeah, and I'm not
that's
even.
That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, because
But if you get your shit from a person, and there is ethics.
Within the drug game, and
it sounds weird to say that there's ethics in drug dealing, but there is because your drug dealer is trying to get you high, and he's trying to get his money, and the only way that he's going to get his money is if you keep on buying it, and if you die from buying it, well, then I lost a customer, but I also lost a shit ton of other customers because they know that you just killed somebody. Yeah. And so they ain't going to buy that
and
shit.
And that brings the heat on you. Because now it's an investigation on this dude over. They're going to say, have fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And that's who they're trying to get everybody with fentanyl, right?
Yep.
So now you brought – somebody who's really pushed – it's usually the street guy who's selling to individuals.
I get everything you're putting down, right? I do. But then also, like – You'll see the news and it's like 29 people got popped with like all these thousands of milligrams of fentanyl and you're like what the fuck?
People get high off of it.
Because you can order it.
People are getting high off of it. But what we're saying that
overseas
people who getting
so like, people buy actual fentanyl
to get high off of itself.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So when they order it from China,
yeah.
So if they order it from China or some country that
like. Okay.
Because you can go to the hospital and they'll like when I had the surgery.
Small doses of fentanyl is a
medication that they give you at the hospital.
Oh, believe me, I know that. But I'm talking about the people that sell fentanyl.
Yeah, it's just like a hydrocodone, oxycodone.
That's what I'm saying. People are buying fentanyl.
By itself.
What the?
That's what I'm saying.
That blows my mind. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so when I hear people say, got to be careful with, you shouldn't do drugs at all.
Period.
But when I hear people say, they're lacing cocaine with fucking fentanyl, it's like, that's a low-level guy who's selling directly to a user, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to push his shit bigger.
Yeah, he's trying to
make it Scama, which is not, so that everybody gets fucked up. He doesn't know how to measure. He doesn't know anything. So he's ODing his customers.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly
the
what
dude
it is.
Who gets it, the dude who's getting it from over there and bringing it here, and he's getting it, he's not cutting nothing. He's already got the hell because you're buying a couple of keys, right?
Yeah.
So then you break it down to zips to give to the guys, right? So you say 5, 6, here, whatever zips you want to get. They turn around and sell it to a dude who's coming in to buy an 8-ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's at the club selling papers, 20s. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to stretch that money because he's doing it and then he's selling it.
Exactly.
So he's getting fentanyl cheap,
cutting
it with that and trying to make it like, it's some fire. Now he's gambling.
Yeah,
because you take it, you're going to get fucked up off that fentanyl, right? Yes. So the person who took it is like, God, that's some fucking fire shit. So the next paper he buy wasn't measured right. It has more fentanyl and he fucking ODs.
That's exactly. Yeah, and you've seen so much in Hollywood. So with the I bring up Mac Miller because my kids love him. That's exactly how it happened with him. So he got some from his homegirl that was known for it. And then a dude that was kind of sketchy. And it turned out the dude, he got it from a third party. And it was most of the stuff was all laced with fentanyl because they package them themselves. Mm. So you're thinking you're getting it from a legit source, but yeah. So
it never occurred to me that people were buying fentanyl. Yeah, yes. Like yeah. Just fentanyl.
Yeah, they just buy just straight up fentanyl, not even lace shit, yeah. Like the fentanyl.
So is that the drug that's making them talk to themselves?
I don't know.
Because like that's said, K2. K2 did like that shit. That ice, synthetic weed.
Oh, spice. Yeah. Spice,
that shit'll fuck you up.
I had real friends. You know, I won't say the names that we grew up with.
Say their names.
And they yeah, fuck right them. But he would. My homeboy would just be there and just. I'll be like, what the fuck are you
fucking well, Jeremy?
Well, I had a homeboy named Black, right? And he would come and do the yard and stuff like that. And then he'd be outside just like hanging outside.
For,
car,
that's
man,
my.
Off of fucking the legal weed.
That's that that's synthetic that shit, bro.
Bro, yeah. And I'd be like, what yeah. The fuck? I mean, I would get so angry
me
at
too,
him.
Brother.
And I'd be like, God damn. And he'd just be like, oh, I'm good, Juan. I'm good. Yep. I'm like, nah, bitch, take your fucking ass home when you wake up.
Yeah.
You can't be at my house like this, bro. And he's like, nah, man. God
damn.
Like,
you couldn't wait to get home? Like, yeah.
I worked with the dude, man, our boss was like, Thomas, you need to do something. I was like, y'all need to do something. I was like, this motherfucker putting my life online. But it was just crazy, bro. And, you know, I'd be smoking a blunt. Like, damn, y'all are stupid. And I was just, but, yeah, it's just it's sad.
It's like a like incense, right?
Yeah, yeah. They spray it with, like, rat poison, bro, that potpourri bullshit.
What the fuck?
So a lot of the local shops were, I remember they were always getting busted because mm-hmm. back then they'd go to New Mexico and buy it. One of the big ones here in town, that's what he did. He would go and they would sell it because I had a lot of friends that would do that shit. And I've smoked weed since I was in high school, and I will not fuck with that K2. One time somebody gave me that on accident or me not knowing it, and it messed my head up that, like, I thought I was going to kill that
person. Was the naked drug, right?
Yeah. And
yeah, because you'd see it all over the news. Where yeah.
Well, that bath salt, too, right?
The bath salt. Bro. Yeah, someone here in Lubbock was on that shit. Dudes that I knew. And I was like, that opened my eyes to, like, I won't try anything other than
but
what I've.
I said, I think the meth is the main thing because it's so cheap.
Yeah.
So fucking cheap, bro. Man, and it's easy to make.
It's
super fucking easy to make, bro. And. No. They don't need any kind of fucking special fucking.
And I think I tasted eggs and cinnamon.
Like, and they're the most innovative people in the fucking
for real,
world,
bro.
I've seen light bulbs that I'm like, these motherfuckers smoking out of a light bulb.
Yeah,
I'm like,
bro.
How do they do? And they're like, you get the salt and you clean. I was like, whoop! Like, how many motherfucking smokers died before you know you got to clean the white shit out of that?
Yeah.
So I'm working at Singular Wireless, and there was like. One of the most dimest girls of the whole call center, right? And I can't believe I'm, like, pulling her. I can't believe I'm, like, talking to her and like, dating her and shit. Well, like, she was, hey, you cool with me getting high? And I was like, I don't give a fuck if you get high or not. Well, I thought it was weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, man, we're at a party, and she fucking pulls out a light bulb, and she's smoking ice from that light. And I'm like... Oh, I ain't cool with that at all, man.
That meter went down
bro,
quick.
Bro, that was the last time I ever spoke to her, man.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. No,
like, y'all know
but
past,
that, I never it's seen just, that until you just said
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like, she was fucking, like, doing, like, a crack pipe, but on a fucking light bulb.
Like I said, y'all know my past, right? Yeah. All that shit. But, like, I've seen so much shit from people you wouldn't even think. And it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, you know, or we'll go bid on homes to buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go in there and just like, God, this motherfucker was charging his phone with 6 car batteries. Like,
damn.
You put this energy in a fucking job.
Seriously,
bro.
Bro,
you'd be making
you could do some
money.
Shit.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
For real, bro.
Just the shit they do, right? But like I said, it's gone from like $1,600 back in its heyday to fucking $400-$600 is it, man.
Damn.
And it's because anybody can make it.
Yeah.
Anybody can fucking make it, bro. And they fucking cook it up, and they fucking sell it, and it's so fucking cheap, and they're fucking high. And the shit they put in it is just killing their fucking... I mean, any drug's going to kill your fucking
brain.
But
when, like, if you're going to do a drug, you want to do one that was actually grown from the earth.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You don't want to do chemicals.
Yeah, seriously.
That's on anything. Yeah. That's all with food or...
Would you argue or agree that cocaine was from the earth?
It is. But then the cooking process.
Have you ever seen
that?
Okay.
But then, even at that, that's doing cocaine, a pure cocaine, is way safer than doing
they chew it.
Meth. Mm-hmm. The leaves. Yeah, the leaves.
And those dudes are good.
Yeah.
They fucking chew that shit. I know in Somalia, they chew another fucking root that gets them high.
Oh, I've
they
seen
chew
that.
It all through the
oh,
yeah. fucking day.
And it actually cocaine energizes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like and 90 like, years old, just still and, living and working.
It makes you invincible. If you are trying to climb Machu Picchu or any of those mountains, when you get to the like some higher little villages, they are selling you fresh cocaine leaves.
Yep.
For you to have energy to finish climbing
the energy,
these things.
Right? And supposedly it opens up your blood.
Yes.
You know, like
that's
oxygen
what it
in your blood and shit like that. So, cause the elevation,
for your white blood cells.
The actual leaves themselves are, I can't say they're good for you, but it's not cocaine.
Yeah. I learned that at Club Rio. Some dude goes, this opens up your blood left. Nita, I was like, do it.
Dude, have you ever
not
seen
it? I'm okay, though.
I'm okay. So you do
it. Make it with diesel.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Shit,
battery.
Coke,
yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Like, you're like, God damn. Like, that's what you're putting up your fucking
for real, bro.
Like,
but you know what?
And then it goes up their ass.
A, a good clear cocaine.
Like, it smells like corn.
A good clear cocaine that was made correctly is way safer than meth, crack, fentanyl, a lot of those shits. But then you have mushrooms.
Just ask Sandy.
just ask Pablo Escobar.
I've never tried...
Yeah.
Most drugs at all, but I do know that mushrooms are the most beneficial. Yes, you get fucking high as fuck, but you get a benefit out of it.
Yeah, man. When Joe Rogan is talking about microdosing those mushrooms, bro.
Is that the one he talked about? Like he lived a whole different life?
No, that's DMT.
That's DMT. That's that. I don't know.
I
what
heard
the...
that shit and I was like, and they're like dead serious. Like
and he believed
had
it.
Kids and whole fucking life somewhere else.
Yeah.
Hold on. Mushroom.
Because that's what him and Aaron Rodgers do that shit, the football
hold
player.
On, hold on. You're talking about
that's
bath
heroin.
Salt.
Oh,
No. This was a mushroom.
Ari Shaffir.
Is that what he said?
Ari
like,
Shaffir took a
he
bath
got depressed,
salt.
He got depressed, right?
And he had 3 months.
Yeah, that's right.
He had
that's
a whole 3 months of him going to work, having a family, supporting his family. And it was only a 10-minute high.
Damn.
And
then
he fucking came out and he was like,
super depressed, right?
Yeah.
Like he missed his family.
Yeah.
Fuck. Talking about that shit.
It was a bath salt. No,
it was bath
salt.
It
wasn't mushrooms.
I thought it was mushrooms, man. Because when he said, like, he lived a whole fucking different life,
no,
I was
I
like,
think,
what
I think
the
bath
fuck?
Salts would do that to your ass. The shroom, you come out, you'll come back different, but like recognizing that how your life has been and how it should be adjusted.
Shrooms were fun.
I
did shrooms for a while.
I never did them.
Yeah,
no,
I never done them.
And I had a buddy that would invite me to go to a lake.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember what lake. It's not that far. It's a couple hours away. And he'd be like, dude, we get to the lake and we set our fucking camping area and we pop some shrooms. And it's the greatest time. And... you're talking to a guy that didn't even smoke weed.
Yeah, yeah.
To fucking invite me to go do a shroom, that's way foreign.
Yeah.
and he swore by it. Like, it was a great time. And I'm like, nah, dude, I ain't fucking with that. Yeah. And then as I'm getting older, everybody's like, oh, you need to try shrooms. I was like, fuck, I should have
tried them back
then. Like, I should have went out there with them one day and just... experienced it.
It does open up.
I just get scared. You're going to see, be like, someone want to try it. Where's he at? Oh, he's over there at fucking Sonic fucking yelling at me.
But the thing was, in my mind, I'm thinking, what if you never come down?
Yeah. That's how I was too growing up.
But
now.
It's a shroom. You are going to come down.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless
the life of it doesn't live forever.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know that, because that's how I was so scared.
Heard that, like, you'll have a bad trip and never come back.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's what I remember. That some people would talk about, because I hung around stoners and stuff, and they would talk about doing acid. And there are people that did so much acid that they call it like a spinal tap. Be years later, just out of nowhere, you'll have a sudden rush, like you're having a trip. And what they say, it's like, basically, and I could be wrong, maybe some listeners know more than I do, but basically it's like the fluid that's trapped in your, from the, like in your spine, it basically will, I don't know the correct term, but your nerve system reactivate it.
Which is like a never come down situation?
No,
or?
Just throughout your whole
out
life.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue. So you'll have a like an hour trip, like thinking you're tripping because you can remember how you felt. And it's just, but those are people like Big A, shout out Big A, God rest his soul. They would be, they're the ones that got, you know, you want some shrooms or I've said on your thing when they give me that little, there's like a little pebble, man. He's like, put it in your eye, T. And he had, damn it, hands were all big and put it in my eye. And I didn't think I was tripping. And like an hour and a half later, I'm talking to the Christmas tree and everybody's laughing. And they said I was talking to the Christmas tree and telling the elves that they were doing a good job and shit. And I was like, so I, you know, that was one of the few times I tripped on acid.
Steve Jobs, I believe, said like, everybody should trip on acid at least once. Well, he didn't say acid, but he said the trip, what is it? Is it L? What's it called?
LSD.
LSD. Yeah. And that's a lot of rich people do that. A lot of, you know, Aaron Rodgers is into that DMT.
Because they said that like the LSD will tap into your creation, your creative part of your brain.
Well, the governments, man, back in the day in the 40s and 50s, they were doing that at colleges. Like you can see it on YouTube. They were basically doing like tests on young adults, and so the guy who basically invented LSD became like a hippie from it. So it was a professor at a university. I think it's Cal Berkeley or some shit.
It was Harvard.
Harvard or something like that. And so, yeah, and he became like crazy. So, you know, Woodstock and stuff. I went through that era of I liked all that stuff. And the guy that I'm talking about, he would go to all those things and he was the one that would pass out the acid to a lot of these rock stars. And Jimi Hendrix, you know, the story is he would cut with like a razor blade, slice in slits in his forehead and then put like 6 to 10 acid drops of acid in his bandana and put it on his forehead. So if you watch the documentary on Woodstock, Carlos Santana says they're all frying balls with them. And frying balls. And when they talk about him playing the guitar, Carlos Santana to this day says it was a snake. So, you know, you look at the video, you know, Jimi Hendrix is tripping out and it looks like he's playing a snake, and Carlos Santana says, I swear to God, he's playing a snake. So acid will open up different levels of your thinking. But I think with mentally people that have some trauma, it can cause some issues. I know a kid I went to church with a few years ago. He took his life, unfortunately, and his mother blames that because
I mean, it's what's in your mind.
Yeah. Well, and he also was taking like 6-7 hits.
Some demons in your mind.
Exactly, brother. Yeah, and that's why I got away from that stuff, because I was afraid. Like, I don't know what the hell's up in here for real.
But take it back to middle school, to junior high, to Cavazos. Us at Cavazos, every drug was available to us. Dude. Do you think any other school was like that?
I don't know.
Like
maybe Evans.
If
maybe on a different level, they had the money.
Cocaine.
Oh yeah.
If we wanted to do acid, if we wanted to do weed, were the three hardest drugs, and we're all at our school,
bro. I remember in seventh grade seeing a couple dudes doing lines at the table, and I was scared. I was like, dude, I go tell the principal? I was scared shitless. And two of my partners, I can't say their name, but they're like, yeah,
we grew up in a tough fucking time.
Doing lines on the table. Yeah, for real, bro.
We really did. And like, I know that I grew up in a tough era, a tough time. We grew up in a tough time. I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, I cannot remember everything concrete. I don't know if I just have this thing in my head where I can just eliminate stuff that's irrelevant.
Not as important.
And even like football games, and then sometimes I guess we were just so much in the zone. You're like, hey, you remember this game, blah blah blah, and I was like, I actually don't remember one fucking play from that fucking football game.
That's the CTE.
I know I snapped the ball 93 times, and I don't remember one play.
You hear me, Sugar Bear? I was like, that's probably the CTE we got. All the banging hands and shit.
Not even from the games, from fucking practice.
Dude, I guesstimated that I had at least 42,000 legit head-on collisions.
Oh, yeah. And imagine how many concussions you got in those, bro.
Dude, I used to think that I had 11 concussions. Yeah. And then now that I know more about concussions and symptoms and stuff, I can't even tell you a number. Yeah, even a safe number.
But back in our day, and can you imagine how it was in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Like when men were fucking men. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking like middle school and high school for us. We were pussies. Get up. Get up. Mm-hmm. I know you better not come off this field. Get up. Get back in there. Yeah.
And we're fucking seeing stars and shit, and we're fucking, all right, fuck, coach is yelling at our ass, we can't come off.
Remember, we would laugh at somebody throwing up, not realizing they had concussions. Yeah. All, bro, bro, look at that pussy. Like,
dude,
you got brain damage.
I remember 8th grade football, right? Our quarterback got fucking annihilated. Snap after snap after snap after snap. And he had to have been concussed in the first quarter. By the third quarter, after getting hit, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 times, like, annihilated.
Yeah.
He got fucking hit, and he didn't get back up, dude. He's just fucking there. We're in the huddle laughing. We're like, God damn, that motherfucker got fucking lit up on that last hit. And then coach fucking ran out there, like, with passion, like, oh, my God, right? This. And so he picked him up and he freaking ran with him in his arms to his own personal car took him to the emergency room. And we're still fucking playing football. We're like, fuck, we got to put this fucking numbnut in a second string quarterback now. And so, but even on the sideline, like, he's all woozy, all fucking cross-eyed and shit. And we were like, I'm Batman
talking shit.
And then I was like, man, and like, you think back, we're fucking jerks, right? Like, I'm Batman making fun of him because he has a fucking concussion and they had to take him to the hospital. He never played football ever again, right? and then like, where did we come up with I'm Batman?
That's the commercial.
It's a fucking Snickers commercial, right?
About a concussion.
The fucking NFL was making fun of concussed football players. I didn't come up with that fucking Batman until shit myself.
Until the former players started killing themselves and shit like that, and then they had to take that serious.
Yeah, you did.
And you think about how it trickled down to just us being in junior high, playing, you know, hard headed, playing even in school, you know. You're wrestling or slap boxing, what they call, you know. Imagine how many concussions we gave, bro. Yeah. You know, and so I look at that, and I'm grateful that I'm halfway decent in my thinking.
Dude, I know for a good while, and drinking heavily, consistently, and having these old concussions, which is my assumption, dude, I couldn't remember shit.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, like, you could tell me something. And it doesn't, like, it would not stick in my head. I just remember
it up to old age, but he might be onto something.
Yeah, no, because me as an older person, I remember stuff.
Yeah.
You tell me something, you explain something, you give me a scenario, I remember it. And then when Eric was 21 years old, I don't remember fucking shit.
Yeah, it sucks, yeah.
I had just tidbits of my fucking life. And I even thought about writing a book about my dumb shit that I've done, right? And the name of the book is going to be called My Life As I Remember
It. As I remember it. I like that though, yeah.
I don't remember a lot of it at all.
I tell my kids if I forget
stuff.
I tell my kids, just lie and tell me good stuff about me.
I'll read it and be like, Eric, it didn't happen that way.
They have some side commentary or whatever. This is my version. This is my version.
This is going to be 60 pages.
we're going to have three. If I can get 3 or 4 people to tell me the same story, right, and we compare notes.
Yeah. Get like, your fact checks.
Fuck, man. All right, man. So we're going to close it out. You got any shout-outs, brother?
Shout out to my mom, all the mothers out there, your mother. I got to meet your mother a little bit, but, you know, I wish I got to know. Shout out to the wives, man. Grateful, brother. I'm just grateful to be here.
Shout out to the moms, man.
Yeah, shout out to the moms, brother.
But we've got spring and we got summer.
Yes, sir.
It's some money grubbing time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Send that phone number out.
Man, I appreciate that. Hit me up Facebook, man. Thomas Rios, 806-535-4215. Send me a text, man. If we can take care of you, I'd love to help you out.
Yeah, we get that yard done. Fuck
yes, sir.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, brother.
Fuck
much love,
yeah,
man.
Dude.
Much
Hell
love.
Yeah. You got any shout-outs, bro?
Yeah. Shout-out to Mark from Jimenez. Yeah. Paul, Jacob.
Yeah.
Your boy Frank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who else hit
Poncho.
Me up, man?
Yeah, Poncho.
Poncho.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Adrian. And a lot of people hit me up, man, this past week.
Yeah,
man.
Nice.
Talking shit like that.
Nice. I got a lot of good feedback on y'all's episode,
so,
man. I really
shout
did.
Out to them, man.
I forgot to tell Francisco, but, yeah, man, a lot of great feedback saying, like, hey, it was back to the basic on y'all shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was badass.
Yeah.
So.
What's that, man? And I was
shout out to Burrito.
Oh yeah, I was gonna shout out my wife, but you know, if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't be.
Shout out to myself.
Yo, shout out to
I want to congratulate myself.
Do the Snoop Dogg thing. Mother's I want to thank myself.
I am pretty badass. You're welcome.
Happy Mother's Day to myself.
Hey, shout out to all the moms out there, and shout out to Alex. She's a dog mom, so I still had to get her Mother's Day.
Amen to that, bro. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Get fucking in trouble and shit. Yeah. So I got her a little cactus plant because she kills plants. And cactuses are easier to keep alive. Our dog got her a little charm for her bracelet.
Jamie. Yeah, right, he's balling, bro.
You're right, bro.
He's straight up balling. There's another gift. I put a rush on it. I paid two times the amount of what the actual thing is, so it'd be here by Friday. It's showing up tomorrow.
If you paid regular price, it'd be here by Saturday.
If I would have gave regular price, it still would have showed up tomorrow. Motherfuckers. Yep. Let me see if I can get half of my money back.
Shit, I saw that post that said, shout out to you if you ever had my kids in you or on you. Happy Mother's Day.
I was like, damn.
Wow.
I like that one.
I seen some chick that posted, if you ever had my tits in your mouth, I'm expecting a Mother's Day. Yeah.
She had a whole list.
I should call her.
Yeah, man. But shout out to all the motherfuckers that made these mothers, bro. Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome. Exactly. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah.
For sure.
Nah, man. But shout out my mom. Love her. I know this episode's going to be way past Mother's Day, but happy Mother's Day. Shout out my wife. Happy Mother's Day. Once again, guys, shout out DJ Kipo. We've got, especially now that you've got graduation parties going on, holler at him for all your DJ needs.
Yes.
Digita Burrito, hit that motherfucking place up. And Patriot Payton Construction, man. And shout out everybody on the John Eric Media. We've got Ramos and Friends. I'm not sure when he's coming out with his next episode. E is for Everything. And Pandelos and Deep Dive with Donnie, man.
Donnie, bro.
Fuck yeah. No. And so until next time, guys.
Donnie Flames.
Read some books.
How do you always know? Oh, you're right there to save me at the end of my rope. When I'm floating in space, how do you stay in place? When the whole world is caving, oh, you're my saving grace. You make me wonder, woman, how do you do it? Some superpower, I don't understand. You make me wonder, woman, how do you do it? You're superhuman, and I'm just a man. You're the best at my worst, more than what I deserve. Always right there beside me, could've put yourself first. Give me hope, give me help when I'm going through hell. Show me loving somebody, starts with loving me.